This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. A top human rights group Tuesday accused the U.S. military of committing war crimes by demolishing homes of suspected insurgents and arresting the relatives of Iraqi fugitives. The military denied the charges by Human Rights Watch, saying it only destroyed homes that were being used to store weapons or as fighting positions, adding that all Iraqis detained were suspected of taking part in attacks on coalition forces. The New York-based human rights group said American soldiers demolished at least four Iraqi homes for no apparent military reason, other than to punish the families of anti-U.S. guerrilla suspects. The Bush administration is taking a fresh look at its plans to turn over power in Iraq by June 30th. While that remains the deadline, Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld said Tuesday it's too early to tell whether it will have to be changed. The review underway is in response to objections to parts of the current plan by a leader of Iraq's majority Shiite Muslims. U.S. soldiers in Iraq are killing themselves at an unusually high rate, despite the work of special teams sent to help troops deal with combat stress, according to Pentagon reports. Meanwhile, about 2,500 soldiers who have returned from the war on terrorism are having to wait for medical care at bases in the United States. Both situations illustrate the stresses placed on the troops and the military's health system by the war in Iraq. Democratic presidential candidate Wesley Clark on Tuesday criticized the timing of an investigation of former Treasury Secretary Paul O'Neill and suggested President Bush was more concerned with political security than national security. Campaigning in New Hampshire 2 weeks before its primary election, Clark called for a full congressional investigation into why the United States went to war in Iraq. Clark contended that Bush was obsessed with Iraqi leader Saddam Hussein and with establishing a national missile defense in the months leading up to the September 11th terror attacks and did not do enough to protect the nation against such an attack. More after this.
I'm Don Henley. 2003 marks the centennial anniversary of the National Wildlife Refuge System. Today, more than 530 refuges conserve some 90 million acres throughout the country. With a refuge in each and every state, and many within short drives of major cities, it's easy to see what the National Wildlife Refuge System is all about. Help us celebrate this truly outstanding legacy. Visit your local refuge.
A researcher from the University of Wisconsin at Madison has figured out a better way to slice cheese. Just use a laser. Xiaochun Li, a mechanical engineering professor and laser expert, has adapted the same kind of laser used for eye surgery to slice Wisconsin's most famed food product. That laser, known as a cold laser, cuts by blasting apart the molecular bonds that hold materials together. At any other university, people would have just laughed. But this is Wisconsin, it's cheese, and it's no laughing matter, Lee said. This is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, and just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
Not only is pollution nasty and deadly, but it's also a spoiled brat kind of substance that just won't stay put. You dump it over here and, whoops, it pops up over there or way out that way, or maybe even in that bag of organic baby lettuces you just bought. Indeed, organic baby lettuce is one of the surprising places that the Environmental Working Group recently found perchlorate. Having run scientific tests on 22 types of lettuce being sold in California supermarkets. Perchlorate is not something you want to find in your salad or on your BLT. It's a rocket fuel ingredient. It's known to cause brain damage and other health problems, especially in children, even when exposed only to trace amounts. The tests found way more than traces, however. One-fifth of the lettuces tested contained at least five times the amount of perchlorate that's considered safe. How did perchlorate end up in our lettuce? It came from a former rocket fuel factory located down at the tip of Nevada. The toxic chemical leached from the factory into the nearby Colorado River, which then carried it miles away through farmlands in Arizona and California, where 70% of our country's winter lettuce is grown. The farmers draw their irrigation water from the contaminated Colorado, and the lettuce sucks up both the water and perchlorate. Then the lettuce is harvested and shipped hundreds of miles to supermarkets where you buy it and take it into your home to serve to family, unaware that it comes pre-dressed with toxic rocket fuel. Pollution is like that. It just keeps going, ultimately into us. You'd think the powers that be would learn this lesson. Yet now these geniuses are saying it's perfectly safe to dump high-level nuclear waste in Nevada, claiming that it's too far away to hurt us. This is Jim Hightower saying, to learn more about perchlorate and lettuce, call the working group, 202-667-6982.
Mr. Rogers' parenting book. Fred Rogers, a pleasure to have you here.
What I'm hearing you say is that you delight in creating community.
I do. I think thinking about things and working through problems and issues is an important tool.
I'm just thinking that the world could take some lessons from the Doug Steffen neighborhood.
Doug Steffen's Good Day. On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Hi, this is Tom Hartman. We're having a small technical problem right now, so we're going to play a best of Tom Hartman program until we get this worked out.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman program.
Blackbird singing in the dead of night. Take these broken wings and learn to fly all your life. You were only waiting for this moment to arise.
And welcome back to the vast, radical, middle conspiracy. Take no imitations. This is the Tom Hartman program on the IE America Radio Network. If you'd like to drop into our chat room, there's about a dozen folks in there talking about the topic that we are discussing here and our guest, John Stauber. A chat room you can reach by going to tomhartman.com, clicking...
What a farce. What a joke. I'm just watching... former senator and astronaut and Marine John Glenn on Keith Olbermann's show. And if anybody would know about the idiocy of what Bush was talking about today in its totality, it would be John Glenn. And that idiocy of Mr. Bush's was displayed. We'll get to that a little bit later. Jim and Haley Idaho sent me an email. KB Toys. Remember the company that made the artificial Bush? Put him in a flight suit. Remember that? It was that horrifying little mannequin of Bush in the flight. The company is now bankrupt. They have filed for Chapter 11 protection. That is good news. By God, in the midst of everything bad, that is good news. The Carlyle Group said yesterday it will set up an office in Mexico. It has made a number of new hires to start its business there. Joining Carlyle as senior advisor with an emphasis on Mexico is Thomas F. McClarty III, who is the president of Kissinger McClarty Associates and a former chief of staff and special envoy for former U.S. President Bill Clinton. David Rubenstein, Carlyle co-founder and managing director, described Mexico as a, quote, fertile terrain for private equity investing, end quote. NASA is looking at ways to drill on Mars for water, for obvious reasons. First of all, that would be the element necessary for life as we know it. And the fact that the water, if any were found on Mars, might contain life. Also, of course, if ever there is an expedition to Mars, we will probably have to use, we or someone will probably have to use whatever natural resources are there to fuel a trip back. So there's some obvious reasons to look for water on Mars. Jeffrey Briggs, who is the director of the Center for Mars Exploration at the NASA Ames Center, said NASA has been working with a couple of companies to set up drilling technologies that might work on Mars. And, yes, you're way ahead of me. The first one listed here is Halliburton. Halliburton is working on some very advanced systems, Mr. Briggs said, some so advanced the company is not willing to talk much about them. Mars. Halliburton. I wonder if that'll be a no-compete. Oh, never mind. A second senior Washington insider has come forth. Did anyone hear about this? I did not hear about this until I read about it on truthout.org. The fact that a second senior Washington insider said that the intelligence used by the Bush thugs to go commit murder and condemn some of our Americans to death, that intelligence was misrepresented, if not out-and-out fraudulent. Now, we all know about Paul O'Neill revealing that there was no evidence that Saddam Hussein possessed a chemical and biological arsenal. We all know about the Carnegie Institute for Peace. We all know that the inspectors, all 1,200 of them, are packing up and leaving. We all know that the director of that inspection team, U.S. director, has said, well, there's no reason to be here. Paul O'Neill's claims have been dismissed as a bitter attack by a man sacked by Bush's vice president. But the claims were backed today by Greg Thielman, who, until his retirement last year, was director of the Strategic Proliferation and Military Affairs Office at the U.S. State Department. Until, like I mentioned, his retirement last year, which means he was a Bush administration appointee. Mr. Thielman told BBC Radio 4's Today program, quote, I'm afraid I think the American public was seriously misled, end quote. He went on to say that the Bush administration, quote, twisted, distorted, simplified intelligence in a way that led Americans to, quote, seriously misunderstand what the nature of the threat was. Mr. Thielman went on to say, I'm not sure I can think of a worse act against the people in a democracy than a president distorting critical information. He added, for a president to abuse that sacred trust is to me a very serious development, end quote. I didn't see this on Wolf Blitzer's program this afternoon on CNN. I didn't watch any of the over-the-air network newscasts, ABC, CBS, or NBC. If you did you hear about this? Greg Thielman, the director of the Strategic Proliferation and Military Affairs Office at the U.S. State Department. Until his retirement last year. Strategic Proliferation and Military Affairs Office at the U.S. State Department. That sounds important to me. Doesn't it to you? For a president to abuse that sacred trust is to me a very serious development. And this latest bulletin just out, no Democrat in the United States House of Representatives is introducing a bill of impeachment. Senator Kennedy issued a scathing denunciation today of the Bush administration's lies and deceptions and deceit and criminal activity in the planning for the Iraq War. Kennedy said the decision to remove Saddam Hussein was misrepresented, was political, and could represent, in Kennedy's words, one of the worst blunders in more than two centuries of American foreign policy. Kennedy said the Bush administration, by taking this nation into a war that he said, Kennedy said, was avoidable, the Bush administration had, in Kennedy's words, put the state of our union at risk, costing lives, overstretching the military, and diverting attention from the war on terror. Clinton was Clinton. Kennedy was talking. Where was he? He was at the Center for American Progress, a nonpartisan research and educational institute headed by John Podesta, who was Bill Clinton's chief of staff. Kennedy went on to say that this administration is breathtakingly arrogant, vindictive, and mean-spirited. The election, Mr. Kennedy concluded, cannot come too soon. We have, in Kennedy's own words, some of his comments. Kennedy carefully and clearly explained how and why the Bushes deviously took us into an illegal war with Iraq. Since they violated the trust of the American people in this and other ways and made Americans more vulnerable to al-Qaeda and other attacks, Kennedy insists they must not be returned to office this year.
Nowhere is the danger to our country and to our founding ideals more evident than in the decision to go to war in Iraq. Former Treasury Secretary Paul O'Neill has now revealed what many of us have long suspected, that despite protestations to the contrary, the president and his senior aides began the march to war in Iraq in the earliest days of the administration, long before the terrorists struck this nation on 9/11.
Well, you're absolutely right, Senator. What many of us have long suspected and millions of us have known. George Bush, Dick Cheney, Wolfowitz, Rumsfeld, the rest of these monsters are liars. And it matters not to them who dies, how painful the death is, what the death is. It just doesn't make any difference. Now, Kennedy gives a lengthy history in his talk of Wolfowitz, Rummy, and Cheney's long desire to invade Iraq, which went all the way back to the first Gulf War under Pappy. These three, Wolfowitz, Rummy, and Cheney, disagreed strongly with Pappy Bush's decision to leave Saddam in place. Now that they were all in place in the second Bush administration, according to Kennedy, according to you, and according to me, they finally had their chance to execute their plan to oust Saddam. But there was still significant opposition to an Iraq invasion within the cabinet from Powell, from O'Neill, from others, and Bush's approval ratings were quite low. So they couldn't execute their plan until they all hit the trifecta.
Then on September 11, 2001, terrorists attacked us and everything changed. Secretary of Defense Rumsfeld immediately began to link Saddam Hussein to al-Qaeda and the attacks. According to notes taken by an aide to Rumsfeld on September 11, the very day of the attacks, the secretary ordered the military to prepare a response to the attacks. The notes quote Rumsfeld as saying that he wanted the best information fast to judge whether the information was good enough to hit Saddam and not just Osama bin Laden. Go massive, the notes quote him as saying. Sweep it all up. Things related and not.
Things related and not. Bulletin just in. No Democrat in the United States House of Representatives has, within the past 10 minutes, introduced a bill of impeachment against the monster that occupies... Oh, never mind. Kennedy, well, should we wait on this? Okay, we've got a couple more quotes here for you. Kennedy further explains the timing of the Iraq attack plan. The State of the Union lies that Bush told regarding uranium from Africa and how this illegal, immoral, and filthy war continues to endanger not just our lives, but the lives of Iraqis and makes it more difficult to protect Americans no matter where we are. You've got to hear some of this stuff. Stay with me.
Everybody knows that the dice are loaded. Everybody rolls with their fingers crossed. Everybody knows the war is over. Everybody knows the good guy's lost. Everybody knows the fight was fixed. The poor stay poor and the rich get rich. That's how it goes. And everybody knows. Everybody knows. Everybody knows the captain lies.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and four pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped five sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now, 1-800-865-8449.
Hey, what is it?
I realize I love you, but as long as you're with Jessica, there can never be anything between us.
Cass, there's no need to cry. Besides, I've got really great news.
You're leaving Jessica?
No. I just saved a load of money on my car insurance by switching to Geico. I saved. I thought that meant something to you.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
Show. Welcome back. This is Tom Hartman. I'm calling for a return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy that this country was founded on, when corporations had to answer to the people and couldn't buy off politicians, where fair play wasn't a code phrase for the rich getting more and working in middle management people getting less, where there was a social contract that people's basic needs would be taken care of, because that's what we do in a community, in a nation that was founded on justice and fairness, not on materialism and greed. Where people could work to get ahead, but at the same time, we don't leave people starving in the streets. The eternal question of this program is, are we advancing democracy or are we advancing corporatism?
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
Spin Free Radio, only with Mike Malloy.
24 past the hour. So Ted Kennedy today giving a speech denouncing the pig in the White House and his piggish administration at a speech given at the Center for American Progress, a nonpartisan research and educational institute. Kennedy denounces Bush on just about everything regarding this obscene, murderous war that Bush and his fascists have perpetrated against Iraq. Kennedy here further explains the timing of the attack plan against Iraq. The plan, which became a topic of speeches and discussions in September of 2002, a year after the 9/11 attacks. At this time, we abandoned the real threat from Osama, the real threat from al-Qaeda, and started to focus on Saddam. Kennedy explains the political motivations behind this.
The decision on Iraq could have been announced earlier. Why time it for September? As White House Chief of Staff Andy Card explained on September 7th, from a marketing point of view, you don't introduce new products in August. That was the bottom line. Hotly contested 2002 election campaigns were entering the home stretch. Control of Congress was clearly at stake. Republicans were still furious over the conversion of Senator Jim Jeffords that had cost them the control of the Senate in 2001. Election year politics prevailed, but they should not have prevailed over foreign policy and national security.
But as you know, Senator Kennedy, the Bush administration criminals couldn't care less about foreign policy or national security. They are killers, they are murderers, they are liars, thieves, and sneaks. They could not care less. After restating the outrageous lie of Bush's State of the Union address regarding the uranium from Africa, Kennedy continues here to explain how pure politics drive Bush's foreign policy decisions.
There is little doubt as well that the administration's plan to transfer sovereignty to the Iraqi people by the summer and the pressure to hold elections in Afghanistan at that time are intended to build momentum for the November elections in this country as well. Our troubles in foreign policy today are as clear as they are self-made. America cannot force its vision of democracy on the Iraqi people on our own terms and on our own election timetable.
Well, of course not, Senator. But the idea here is not democracy for Iraq, as you know. I'm certainly not trying to second-guess you, Senator Kennedy. It's not democracy in Iraq. It is not freedom for the Afghan people. Please, somebody, get real. Not you, Senator. You already understand it. But anyone who buys into, any newscaster, any anchor, any reporter who seriously entertains the idea that democracy or freedom or stability is the goal in Afghanistan has to be a junkie like Rush Limbaugh. Anyone who believes that the goal in Iraq is democracy, stability, freedom, or peace in Iraq has to be a brain-dead, pigeon-toed idiot like Sean Hannity. That's not what those two countries are about. Our involvement in those two countries are about control, power, American empire, extending our empire, and, of course, oil. But you know that, and I know that, and Senator Kennedy knows it, and the Bush crime family knows it. Now, if we could just somehow convince 51% of the American public.
I won't give up that easy.
We are redefining war on our terms.
Think it's time to make some change.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, and just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
Wildfires in tropical forests can be dangerous to life on the bottom of the ocean. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. In 1997, wildfires raged for months over much of Southeast Asia. Even after the fires went out, the destruction continued offshore. Coral reefs near Indonesia started to die off, and so did the organisms that live on them. Companies that rely on the reefs for tourism lost business, and people who depend on the reefs for food lost their source of fish. A group of scientists in Australia and Indonesia say the environmental losses at sea are directly connected to smoke from the fires. Nereli Abram is working on a PhD in earth sciences at the Australian National University in Canberra. She and her colleagues studied skeletal remains of the Indonesian coral to recreate what happened when the reefs died. Abram says the coral suffocated. She says smoke from the wildfires contained huge amounts of iron, and it fell out on the surface of the sea and settled onto the reefs. The iron fed blooms of algae, and when the algae died, the process of decomposition robbed the water of oxygen. Abram says coral reefs will be hard hit if tropical wildfires become more common.
There isn't really any reason why this thing wouldn't happen again, particularly because the predictions are that wildfires are going to continue to become larger and more common in the future.
Abram says global warming might contribute to more tropical wildfires and more problems for marine ecosystems.
Our study adds a new threat to coral reefs and shows that ecosystems are quite intricately linked, and what happens in one ecosystem can have an important impact on other ecosystems. So we need to be looking at more integrated management solutions.
The research by Abram and her colleagues was published last year in the journal Science. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio program, take 48.
Tune in to Animal Talk this Sunday for Animal Celebrity Boxing.
Boxing kicks butt!
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
Yeah, what a cat!
And that dog on ice, Tanya Harding.
Yeah, that dog will fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network.
Sunday!
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of you may be alarmed by subversive propaganda spread by that liberal media filter, Mike Malloy, who distorts the truth every weeknight at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Rest assured, our sources at Fox News confirm that we have a fabulous, booming economy and enjoy daily glorious victories in the numerous fronts of the ongoing terror wars. And besides, any problems we're experiencing are all Clinton's fault. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Talk radio right from the left. It's Mike Malloy.
27 before the hour. While Bush was playing with himself today with his NASA speech, which we'll get into a little bit later about the permanent base on the moon and men on the Mars and so on and so forth, Ted Kennedy, Senator Ted Kennedy of Massachusetts, was giving a speech and issuing a scathing denunciation of the Bush administration and its filthy fascist policies before a meeting of the Center for American Progress, which calls itself a nonpartisan research and educational institute. It is headed by John Podesta, who is President Clinton's chief of staff. As I'm sure that the right-wingers will point out, the Republicans will say, well, that makes it all invalid. Back to what Senator Kennedy had to say, how the illegal war initiated and perpetrated by the killers in the White House continues to endanger our lives, yours and mine, and makes it more difficult to protect Americans no matter where they are.
By far the most serious consequence of the unjustified and unnecessary war in Iraq is that it has made the war on terrorism harder to win. We knocked al-Qaeda down in the war in Afghanistan, but we let it regroup by going to war in Iraq. 11 times in the 2 years since 9/11, al-Qaeda attacked Americans and other parts of the world and other innocent civilians. War with Iraq has given al-Qaeda a new recruiting program for terrorists. For each new group of terrorist recruits, the pool is growing.
of others ready to support them and encourage them.
Yeah, you know that, Senator, and I know that, and the people that listen to this program know that, and people within the government who are Democrats who have any sense left know that. Foreign journalists know it. A few American journalists know it. Foreign heads of state know it. But the American people, Senator Kennedy, you see, we collectively are the stupidest collection of rubes ever, ever to come together in one country. And we will probably reelect these killers because we're that stupid. Kennedy goes on how Bush's politically motivated foreign policy and his illegal wars and his death and his murder and his killing have put all our lives in danger, has already cost needless American lives, has hurt our economy, has endangered domestic programs, and has revealed George W. Bush to be the thug that he is.
We know the high price we have also paid in our credibility with the international community, in the loss of life, in the individual tragedies of loved ones left behind, communities here at home, in the billions of dollars that should have been spent on jobs and housing, health care and education and civil rights, the environment, a dozen other clear priorities, should not have been spent on a misguided war in Iraq.
Ah, but Senator, spending that money on a misguided war in Iraq to knock things down then allows Halliburton, Kellogg Brown and Root, Bechtel, and the rest of the Bush crime family members to step in and, well, you know. Finally, from Senator Kennedy, and we will post tonight at my website a link to truthout.org's transcript of his entire speech. You can go to it now if you want to, truthout.org. It'll be there. It's rather lengthy, but we'll have it linked on our website tonight when the program is over. Finally, a summation then of how Bush has lied to the American people, which has resulted in loss of life, economic insecurity, homeland insecurity. And as a result of all this, Bush does not deserve a second term. Senator, the rat bastard didn't deserve a first term.
President Bush said it all when a television reporter asked him whether Saddam actually had weapons of mass destruction or whether there was only the possibility that he might acquire them. President Bush answered, "So what's the difference?" The difference, Mr. President, is whether you go to war or not. No president of the United States should employ misguided ideology, distortions of the truth to take the nation to war. In doing so, the president broke the basic bond of trust between government and the people.
Yeah, he did. And what do you think, Senator, the people are going to do about it? Well, if the polls are to be believed, absolutely nothing except send George Bush back one way or another to be president of the United States. Is it frustrating, Senator? George Thielman, talking to BBC Radio 4's Today program, said, "I'm afraid the American public was seriously misled." Who is Greg Thielman? He is the director of the Strategic Proliferation and Military Affairs Office at the U.S. State Department until his retirement just last year. He worked in the Bush administration. "I'm afraid I think the American public was seriously misled," he told BBC Radio 4. He said the Bush administration twisted and distorted intelligence in a way that led Americans to seriously misunderstand what the nature of the Iraq threat was. Thielman said, "I'm not sure I can think of a worse act against the people in a democracy than a president distorting critical information. For a president to abuse that sacred trust is, to me, a very serious development." Greg Thielman joins former Treasury Secretary Paul O'Neill, John DiLullio, who was at one time, before he was fired, in charge of the so-called faith-based Bush nonsense, the Carnegie Center for the Endowment of Peace, and on and on, the Army's War College, all of these respected institutions who are stating categorically the lies and distortions and deceptions that this thuggish pig who occupies illegally yes, thuggish pig who occupies illegally the office of the President of the United States. All that this man has done to corrupt, distort, and destroy this republic. And who is who's clamoring about it? Well, as I look at Democrats, most of them, all the Democratic presidential candidates are all attacking Howard Dean. Not all of them. I don't think Carol Moseley Braun is, and I don't think Dennis Kucinich is. But the rest of them are, aren't they? Or am I missing something? That's who they're attacking. While the Republicans sit back on their asses and laugh and rub their hands together and wait for November 2nd. The press in this country is not making an issue of the realities of this filthy criminal administration. Hey, if you remember in the run-up to the Gulf War and during the Gulf War, the networks, cable and over-the-air, loved it. It was almost masturbatory to these people. It was sexual. It was, I don't know, it was beyond belief. You remember, don't you, the drum rolls and the branding of a war, for Christ's sake, by CNN and MSNBC and Fox and ABC and CBS and NBC and your local station? You remember it, don't you, the branding of war? Do you think these thugs, do you think these journalistic abortions are now going to stand up for truth and justice when they stood up for the lies and the deceptions and the deceit and the killing and the murder and the shock and awe earlier this year? Do you? Of course you don't. Neither do I. Neither do I. But they will bring us information that Howard Dean's driver, a state trooper, they will bring us news that Howard Dean's, the head of Howard Dean's security detail for 9 years, was a classic abuser. Abused his wife until she finally filed for divorce in 1997, and ABC News will ask tonight, why didn't Dean stop it? And what did Dean know about his the state trooper who was the head of Dean's security detail for 9 years? How come Dean didn't know that this thug was beating his wife? Why didn't Dean know that? That's what the media will talk about tonight. That's what ABC News will talk about tonight. In the meantime, we have a president who is a murderer, a liar, who has committed treason, who has violated, in the broadest sense of the word, let's not be too specific, just in the broadest sense of the word, to uphold the laws of the United States of America, to protect and defend the Constitution. In the broadest sense of the word, this man has committed treason against this country. And he's still there. And chances are, the American people are going to send him back. How about that? Well, I don't know. Peter is calling from Saginaw Valley, Michigan. He's our bureau chief there. Hey, Peter.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
Doing fine.
Say, you were in such a foul mood last night. I really felt I had to call. And
I was?
Yeah.
I don't know what distinguishes last night. I'm in a foul mood every night.
Well, yeah, I understand. You were more upset. I felt you were more upset about O'Neill's backpedaling than you needed to be, because I think that, you might say, well, I wish I hadn't called him a blind man, blah, blah, blah.
Right,
But basically, the substance of all of his charges is not only sticks, but has been confirmed by at least one official that's come out, Thielman.
Right, and another unnamed official.
Yeah, well, I'm wondering, is Thielman the unnamed official, or are there two we're talking about?
I don't know. ABC News the other night reported an unnamed official. BBC Radio 4 interviewed him, and he came right out and said it. So I have I don't know if they're the same person.
Because I was guessing that the ABC's official might be Richard Clark, who was the national security.
That's true. He's also come out with scathing attack on these murders.
Exactly. Yeah. So the point is, now there is a stronger linkage than ever from the Iraq War all the way back to Project for a New American Century,
right,
which was, up until this week, really not even on the table for conversation in polite journalistic society.
Right.
So this is a big step. This is huge. This is huge.
Well, I hate to sound like a cynic, but I don't think that any news gathering, at least television or radio, news gathering organization will even attempt to explain PNAC for a very simple reason. Radio and television is broken down into tiny little bits and pieces. First of all, you'll never hear it on talk radio unless it's alluded to on this program or Tom Hartman's program. Or maybe a couple of the liberals on the West Coast, and maybe Randy Rose's program. It'll be alluded to, but it will not be discussed in detail. And I'll tell you why it will not, because it is too complex. It requires too much thought. It requires too much attention. You'll never see anything about PNAC that is of substance or comprehensive on any television newscast.
Well, I understand. Yeah, I understand the level that you're dealing with, but what has been disappointing up to this point is that the whole subject has been successfully relegated to the realm of conspiracy theorists, and the Republicans have found it very easy to ridicule anyone who saw the whole filthy picture.
Do you think that has changed?
I think it has now become intellectually respectable for people to say, look, you know, they came in with this on their agenda. This is not something that suddenly evolved in response to 9/11. And it's popular to say, oh, my gosh, 9/11 changed everything, and it opened our eyes, and now we've got to, you know, do this. And
well,
all that.
I hope you're right. And if you or anyone else who gets out, Kathy and I don't get out much anymore, but if you get out and you talk to people, especially conservatives or even Republicans, and if you, Peter, or any other liberal or progressive or Democrat engages one of these Republicans in conversation and brings this stuff up, I'd like to know what the reaction is.
I don't get out much myself, but my wife does.
Well, I have a suspicion that the reaction would be if you or your wife were to stand there with a Republican and say what you just said to me on this program, that they would look at you like you were crazy. And they would tell you were wrong, and they would say you've been brainwashed, and it's that liberal media that's gotten to you, and whatever you're saying is nonsense. And I've seen this to be the case with people that I used to hang out with, I don't anymore because I can't, who are of respectable intelligence, who understand that 2 and 2 is 4. They also understand, or I thought they understood, that 2 and 2 can be 5 if enough pressure is applied. And yet, here they are, the recipients of this pressure, from 4 or 5 different directions, and they don't see that they have been converted into believing that 2 and 2 is 5. So, I give up. I talk about it on this program. I do not talk about it in social contacts, and I have, like I've said before, I have stopped seeing a number of people in my life simply because they chose to believe that George W. Bush was from this planet.
Right.
Which I don't believe he is. I think he's from hell.
The blue pill people.
There you go. Mm-hmm. There you go. The blue pill people who seem to be doing okay.
Yeah, they're doing great.
They really do. There must be something about avoidance and denial that translates, when your country is being converted to fascism, that translates into keeping your job or your profession.
Yeah, I feel like I'm out here struggling, you know. I'm out here drowning.
Yeah.
And, like, I look around and, gosh, you know, why couldn't I, like, wipe out some part of my brain, you know? Like, these Republicans just seem, you know...
You must have picked the red pill.
I took the red pill.
There you go. Peter, thanks for checking in, pal.
Okay, God
all
bless
right.
you, Mike.
I appreciate your call.
I never voted for Bill Kristol. Tar me and feather me, take my girl. I never voted for Richard Pearl. don't care what it is, I will step right in it. Before I'd vote for Bill Bennett. They'll take over the world if we let them. They'd like to take over the world, I'm not kidding.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places, a ray of hope in these dark days, and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
If you think people are more important than corporations, you need to see The Progressive Populist. Twice a month, we feature columnists such as Jim Hightower, Molly Ivins, and other plutocrat pluckers from around the country. We'll send you a free sample copy if you'll call us toll-free 1-800-205-7067 or see our website at populist.com. That's 1-800-205-7067 or populist.com or The Progressive Populist, the newspaper for Main Street USA.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and four pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped five sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls.
The Tom Hartman Show, 12 p.m. till 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
You've got your green alligators and long-necked geese, humpty-back camels and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants, but sure as you're born, don't you forget that unicorn.
Sunday nights, please, please listen to our show, because if you don't, Mark will not stop singing. Animal Talk, Sunday nights, on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
You've got your green alligators and long-necked geese, humpty-back camels and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants, but sure as you're born, don't you forget that unicorn.
Sunday nights, please, please listen to our show, because if you don't, Mark will not stop singing. Animal Talk, Sunday nights, on the IE America Radio Network.
He's a liberal with a microphone, and that makes him dangerous. Here's Mike Malloy.
Five before the hour. Next hour, we're going to take a look at, just briefly, because it's all just nonsense, Bush's statements today about the moon and Mars.
Yeah, right.
Ben is calling from Elgin, Illinois, our bureau chief there, and the webmaster at WhiteRoseSociety.org. Hey, Ben.
Hey, Mike. Just briefly about the moon mission. Thing. I sat down and read what was said and apparently what else has been, you know, put out in the media about it.
Mm-hmm.
We can't do this for anything like that price.
Oh, no. It would take about $700 billion in today's dollars to do what the moron is proposing. And see, this is where... this is where it really irritates me, because I think any of us, I think you'll agree, I would agree. I think anyone who has interest in exploration or the human condition would agree that space exploration is so critically necessary. But Bush is not talking about space exploration. What he's talking about is nothing. It's air. It's to divert attention away from O'Neill.
It doesn't matter to him if this is doable in the time frame he specifies or not.
No.
Because he won't be around.
Right. He won't be around. There's no way to provide this kind of money without with the kind of tax cuts, with the kind of mismanagement of this economy that the rat bastard has perpetrated against the American people. It's never going to happen. That's A. B, it shouldn't be an American thing anyway. It should be a global thing. And C, it's just the opening shots of a new space race. This time, it's not us and the Soviets, it's us and the Chinese.
The big problem I've got with this, you know, you think, okay, so he's going to throw some money at NASA, and NASA's going to be, you know, is at least going to be able to, you know, move forward. So that's a good thing. It's not. You ever see that very famous fossil fish, that died while eating another fish, had choked to death, and they were fossilized together in a death embrace?
I don't think so. It sounds great, though.
It's a great little fossil. But it was in one of those Time Life books years ago.
Uh-huh.
That's what's going to happen to NASA. NASA's going to choke on this. He's talking about getting us out of the space station by 2010. He's talking about retiring the space shuttle and replacing it with nuclear rockets.
Yeah.
And I'm here to tell you, okay, you know, no matter how reliable you make something, even 737s crash.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and we think of them as safe as houses.
Sure.
All right. You know.
You want to hold on?
Sure.
All right, let me put you on hold. We'll come back right after the break. A quick break here. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2004. My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with an important public service announcement about sleep deprivation. Many of you are not obtaining the 10 hours of nightly sleep necessary for true patriotic Americans like my husband Georgie, because you're staying awake to listen to the Mike Malloy Show from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. This dangerous behavior puts you at risk of daytime blackouts, diminished worker productivity, ghastly hallucinations, and erectile dysfunction. So when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Yes, I'm calling about
about the Michael Loy program. You know, the reason I turned this man off.
Why?
Is because he sounds like an 8-year-old.
Me?
Name calling.
I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not.
You should get somebody who at least has some intelligence.
No, don't fire me. No. I got kids in college.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. U.S. soldiers in Iraq are killing themselves at an unusually high rate, despite the work of special teams sent to help troops deal with combat stress, according to Pentagon reports. Meanwhile, about 2,500 soldiers who have returned from the war on terrorism are having to wait for medical care at bases in the United States. The problem of troops on medical extension is likely to get worse as the Pentagon rotates hundreds of thousands of troops into and out of Iraq this spring. Both situations illustrate the stresses placed on the troops and the military's health system by the war in Iraq. The military has documented 21 suicides during 2003 among troops involved in the Iraq war. 18 of those were Army soldiers. Democratic presidential candidate Wesley Clark on Tuesday criticized the timing of an investigation of former Treasury Secretary Paul O'Neill and suggested President Bush was more concerned with political security than national security. Campaigning in New Hampshire 2 weeks before its primary election, Clark called for a full congressional investigation into why the United States went to war in Iraq. Clark contended that Bush was obsessed with Iraqi leader Saddam Hussein and with establishing a national missile defense in the months leading up to the September 11th terror attacks and did not do enough to protect the nation against such an attack. George W. Bush ordered the Pentagon to explore the possibility of a ground invasion of Iraq well before the United States was attacked on September 11, 2001, confirming the account former Treasury Secretary Paul O'Neill gives in his new book, according to ABC News. The official, who asked not to be identified, was present in the same National Security Council meetings as O'Neill immediately after Bush's inauguration in January and February of 2001. More after this.
I'm Don Henley. 2003 marks the centennial anniversary of the National Wildlife Refuge System. Today, more than 530 refuges conserve some 90 million acres throughout the country. With a refuge in each and every state, and many within short drives of major cities, it's easy to see what the National Wildlife Refuge System is all about. Help us celebrate this truly outstanding legacy. Visit your local refuge.
You really can buy anything on eBay. A merry-go-round that once entertained children at Dolly Parton's theme park before being used as a ferry terminal boredom killer is being sold on eBay. Minimum bid, $40,000. The 47-year-old carousel is being sold by the Delaware River and Bay Authority, operators of the Cape May Lewis Ferry. The authority used it for 5 years at its terminal in Lower Township to entertain families with young children who were waiting for their ferry departures. The carousel was dismantled after the 2001 season and is now stored in a warehouse at the Cape May County Airport. For IE America Radio Network News, this is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Hey, what is it?
I realize I love you, but as long as you're with Jessica, there can never be anything between us.
Cassie, there's no need to cry. Besides, I've got really great news.
You're leaving Jessica?
No. I just saved a load of money on my car insurance by switching to Geico. I saved. I thought that meant something to you.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
Not only is pollution nasty and deadly, but it's also a spoiled brat kind of substance that just won't stay put. You dump it over here and, whoops, it pops up over there or way out that way. Or maybe even in that bag of organic baby lettuces you just bought. Indeed, organic baby lettuce is one of the surprising places that the Environmental Working Group recently found perchlorate.
having run scientific tests on 22 types of lettuce being sold in California supermarkets. Perchlorate is not something you want to find in your salad or on your BLT. It's a rocket fuel ingredient. It's known to cause brain damage and other health problems, especially in children, even when exposed only to trace amounts. The tests found way more than traces, however. One-fifth of the lettuces tested contained at least five times the amount of perchlorate that's considered safe. How did perchlorate end up in our lettuce? It came from a former rocket fuel factory located down at the tip of Nevada. The toxic chemical leached from the factory into the nearby Colorado River, which then carried it miles away through farmlands in Arizona and California, where 70% of our country's winter lettuce is grown. The farmers draw their irrigation water from the contaminated Colorado, and the lettuce sucks up both the water and perchlorate. Then the lettuce is harvested and shipped hundreds of miles to supermarkets where you buy it and take it into your home to serve to family, unaware that it comes pre-dressed with toxic rocket fuel. Pollution is like that. It just keeps going, ultimately into us. You'd think the powers that be would learn this lesson. Yet now these geniuses are saying it's perfectly safe to dump high-level nuclear waste in Nevada, claiming that it's too far away to hurt us. This is Jim Hightower saying, to learn more about perchlorate and lettuce, call the working group, 202-667-6982.
We have this representative sampling from yesterday addressed to Dudley Do-Right.
Yes, sir, Inspector.
You must be a miserable person. You think everybody is out to screw you. You don't like the Republicans, George W., government authority, police, fire, CIA, FBI, NSA, phone companies, airlines, successful people. The list goes on and on and on and on and on.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
I'm going right there somewhere, somewhere, somewhere. I know I'll find you somehow, and somehow I'll reach a girl.
Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
The words that I remember from my childhood still are true. That there's none so blind as those who will not see.
Welcome back, 7 past the hour. We're at 800-TALK-YES. We're talking with Ben, our Elgin, Illinois Bureau Chief and the webmaster at White Rose Society. Where were we?
Well, I was discussing the fact that this is a poison pill for NASA. Not only is there not enough money in this, and are we getting out of the space station, which, you know, we haven't even finished building yet.
Right.
But nuclear rockets. I studied rocketry now for most of my adult life.
Mm-hmm.
And I know quite a bit about the nuclear rocket programs going back to Kiwi and Nerva and et cetera in the 60s, and I think I understand a thing or two about them, and I know for a fact that there's absolutely no way that we're going to develop a safe one in that amount of time. We've never flown one.
Right.
What is a nuclear rocket? It is a nuclear reactor with two holes in it. A big hole in the top where you dump in the stuff you're going to heat up with the reactor and shoot out the little hole at the bottom to get thrust.
Right.
And, you know, when a nuclear reactor does that in commercial use, we call that an accident.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't have any you know, good thoughts about this at this point. I think it's a real mistake. And worse, in order to get anywhere with this, to meet anything like the schedule they're setting for it, NASA's going to have to abandon its very successful robotic exploration of the planets. There's absolutely no way we're going to repeat the Mars rovers again if we have to build all this man-rated hardware and nuclear rockets and prepare for a moon base.
Mm-hmm.
that stuff like you know, going to Pluto, which is, you know, something they have planned, or exploring the asteroids, and all this, you know, happy little robotic things that you know, that we're getting very good at now,
right.
we're going to have to abandon. And that is going to destroy the space program.
John Glenn tonight on Keith Olbermann's program on MSNBC was interviewed, and he said that just at the point where the International Space Station will begin to become extremely functional, where if it were funded properly, where it would concern experiments and technological exploration that is being done there, but is being done with two people on board when the space station was built to hold six. What Glenn is afraid of is just at the point where these developments will start to occur, Bush wants to pull the funding and divert it. He wants to close down the space station and divert funding to NASA. This is not new money. This is just diverting old money, which Bush is just famous at doing.
Precisely.
So,
you know, and he talks about increasing NASA's budget 5% per year. Well, last I looked at, that was just an inflation increase, isn't it?
It is.
You know, and
it's a joke. They used to call it bread and circuses.
Precisely.
And that's what Bush is doing. He's a jackass. He's a moron. He has no interest in space any more than I have in the space between his ears. But Karl Rove said, look, get out here and make this speech. It'll get people talking. It'll get the dummies talking. It'll get the proles talking. It'll get people off the topic of the lies and deceptions that you made about Iraq. So get out there and do it, George, and also make you look Kennedy-esque. How many people did you hear today, Ben? I heard several, and that's not an exaggeration, refer to this speech as and make reference back to Kennedy's speech when he talked about going to the moon. How many times did you hear it? Two,
well,
three, five?
Well, the three sources I looked at all said that.
Right. So, once again, Karl Rove wins.
He's going to lose big time one of these days. We just have to make sure that happens.
I hope so. Thanks, Ben.
Take care.
All right, sir. Appreciate your call. Kurt, one of our over-the-road truckers, is calling. Hey, Kurt.
Well, evening, Mike.
How you doing?
Listening to your previous caller brought me to something else that's not what I called for, but do you have any idea if this guy consulted with NASA first, or is he springing on him and slapping the face with as much as the rest of us?
Well, the impression I get is that he pretty much... there might have been a little bit of discussion between Karl Rove and NASA, But as far as Bush talking to somebody there, no, I don't think that was the case at all. I don't think there was any planning in this. It was just something that popped up the other day when Karl Rove said, look, this is a good way to get people off the subject of your criminal activities. So at least that's the impression I get.
Yeah, another comment, not what I called for, but I was wondering why you're complimenting Bushy Boy. It's a pretty high compliment to call him a numbnut.
Well, that I don't know. I just lost focus there for a moment.
Yeah. Anyway, what I did call for, I was curious, is has anyone ever interviewed or knows what the opinions are of Pappy Bush regarding his baby boy?
I wish I'm sure it's been done. I'm sure some behavioral or some sort of psychologist has taken a look at this the business between Pappy and Junior. But I have yet to read it.
Yeah, I don't think you.
Go ahead.
I don't think you will. I got a feeling that Pappy's seething just as much as or almost as much as the rest of us, and he's biting his tongue and bleeding some tears.
Mm. Well,
I don't think they see eye to eye at all. It must be an awfully difficult, awkward time around the dinner table.
Yeah, but don't forget, he is the president, right?
Yeah, but can you imagine being how embarrassing it'd be to want to begat this idiot?
Yeah. Yes, I can.
Trying to put up with him around the turkey dinner or something?
Yes, I can imagine that, but only imagine it.
Yeah. You'll never see or hear an interview from Diane Sawyers or something of Pappy, though. He doesn't dare speak up.
Well, when he does, a few times he does, it is he's like his Harridan wife, Babs, the mother of this crime family. They seem to be very intent on not even hearing criticism of their precious boys,
who between the three or four of them, I guess there's four, I don't even know, they just seem to pop up all over the place. I guess there's four of them, Marvin, Neil, George, and the idiot down in Florida. But anytime the boys are mentioned, or no, that's not what I was going to say. What I was going to say, between these four, they have perpetrated more fraud, theft, murder, mayhem, and destruction than any four people I can possibly think of in history. I mean, any four brothers that I can think of in history, and I'm not exaggerating. There might have been, I don't know, maybe back in medieval China, there might have been, you know, in the 13th century in China, there might have been four warlords who committed, who were brothers, who committed more death and destruction. But in terms of modern history being in the past 2,000 years, how about that? I can't think of any four brothers who have left more people exposed, destroyed more people's futures, killed more people, been responsible for more death than these four brothers. Now, if somebody wants to correct me, correct me. I don't put them in the league yet with Stalin and Mao and Hitler, but they are getting close.
It's amazing how they get away with it. I'm curious, too, and I'll let you go. I wonder if there isn't a fifth and sixth mixed-race brother in there somewhere.
Is what now?
A fifth or sixth mixed-race brother.
I don't know. There may be somebody that they're hiding. The Bushes, you know, with all their talk about egalitarianism and equality and harmony and so on and so forth, are very much the elite master race sort, but because they have good breeding, they tend to keep that sort of discussion out of the public. But don't forget, the Bush family were supporters of Adolf Hitler, and we all know his racial policies, right?
Yeah.
Hey, Kurt, drive safe.
Yep, talk to you later.
All right, sir, appreciate your call. Meanwhile, Mark Morford, who writes for the San Francisco Chronicle, the guy cracks me up, he really does. Mark does. He's like Hunter Thompson on speed. But in his column today, he points out the nation. He says the nation is in massive record-breaking debt. American soldiers, disposable American soldiers, are dying brutal, horrific deaths every day over nothing at all, except our greed and flagrant cronyism and corporate petrochemical profiteering. Our cities are gasping and healthcare is a joke and we've mauled Medicare beyond recognition and we're plundering the living hell out of Social Security, the last remaining stable and sound fund left, to try to shore up our rapacious and gluttonous spending. There are no weapons of mass destruction. Our former allies openly resent us and the poll ratings are slipping and the big glops of warmongering lies are drying like bloodstains into a carpet and it's an election year. Damn. What's to be done? What could rally a wary country during its time of humiliated need and force-fed ignorance? What could turn this troubled nation around in the face of oily corporate war and fiscal gluttony and environmental savagery? Why, neato space stations on the moon and sending men to Mars. That's what. That's what. Oy. That's what. $500 trillion. In 1989, when Pappy Bush talked about this, the figure that was batted around, the cost of a permanent a space station or a permanent a lunar station and then an attempt to send actual humans to Mars, the talk was around $500 trillion in 1989 dollars. So I guess that would be about $700-800 trillion now. Of course, the thing that we have to keep in mind is NASA is funded with tax dollars, right? And what the Bush crime family is doing is ending taxes, at least on corporations which should be paying enormous amounts in the U.S. Treasury, and the wealthy 5% who should be paying enormous amounts into the Treasury. They're trying to end taxes on everybody except folks like you and me, who make under $100,000 a year. We are fair game. We are the ones who are supposed to carry the tax burden. So tell me, now that we are, I don't even know anymore what the budget deficit is. I guess it's around $400 billion or $500 billion. The national debt is approaching what, $7-8 trillion. Where's the money going to come from? So too stupid to get through high school science class goes on television today and stares his vacuous, monkey-like stare into the camera and talks about this? Something that's going to cost... what comes after a trillion? A quadrillion? Something that may cost a quadrillion dollars? Yeah, okay. Sure. We'll have Bush in his own words coming back. Stay with us.
His neck that holds up his tired head. With him up there, it won't seem that far. So let's send Jesse Helm to Mars. Well, now let's send them both off to Mars. Strong, strong firm, wake up.
Welcome and good evening. Soon, one of these lucky ladies will be crowned Miss Kumquat of Monroe County. The envelope, please. Miss Debbie Andrews. I have good news.
I can't believe I won.
You didn't.
Huh?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
We here at IE America Radio Network make sure that our listeners are informed about many different subjects in many different ways. And this is why we partner with Earthwatch Radio to bring you environmental research and related topics in concise 2-minute reports that are scientifically accurate, clearly written, and played at the bottom of every hour here on IE America Radio Network. But did you know that you can get even more great information about the environment and related issues at www.ewradio.org? This website contains an enormous amount of information on a wide range of subjects that concern science and the environment. Earthwatch Radio gives special attention to the global climate change, the Great Lakes, and the oceans, and it's all information that you need to know about. So get informed by going to www.ewradio.org and listen to the Earthwatch Radio 2-minute program at the bottom of every hour, every day, here on IE America Radio Network. It's our world. Let's learn how to take care of it. If you can't listen to the Earthwatch Radio program on your radio station, you can listen to it on our website's live streaming at www.ieamericaradio.com.
There's a new voice on IE America Radio Network. It's Never Better with Marina Colby. Sundays from 11 a.m. till noon Eastern on the IE America Radio Network. Never Better is an energetic show that explores and analyzes how you can be more successful people at work and in relationships. So make sure you tune in to Never Better with Marina Colby every Sunday from 11 a.m. till noon Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network. For more information, go to ieamericaradio.com.
I sometimes get encapsulated in a bubble.
24 past the hour. So let's play a couple, three little sound bites here from George Bush today as he gave it. Was that speech live, Kathy, or was it another one of those timed out, coordinated, taped? No way of telling anymore because the networks lie their asses off. They don't care. They couldn't care less, I should say. All right, here's Bush speaking to a bunch of NASA employees and to you and me, the proles, the morons out here today. Let me ask this. Does he sound Kennedy-esque to you? Since all of the comparisons were made today between this moron speech and what Jack Kennedy got us involved in back in 1961? Just tell me, does Bush sound Kennedy-esque to you?
Inspired by all that has come before and guided by clear objectives, today we set a new course for America's space program. We will give NASA a new focus and vision for future exploration. We will build new ships to carry man forward into the universe, to gain a new foothold on the moon, and to prepare for new journeys to the worlds beyond our own.
We will build a new ships. The problem here, of course, is that Mars does not exist to a Christian fundamentalist like George Bush. It couldn't exist. Remember, the universe is only 6,000 years old. The entire universe, because that's when God one day got up and said, hey, I think I'll make a whole bunch of stuff, 6,000 years ago. And remember, since that is the worldview of George W. Bush and all Christian fundamentalists, every single one of them, then as we said before, fields of study necessary for space exploration like biochemistry, and genetics, and ecology, and paleontology, and anatomy, and physics, and astronomy, and geology, and cosmology, and history, and archaeology, all of those disciplines are invalid. They do not work, because the foundation of them, evolution, is a lie. Right? So when, I mean, if you needed any more, and I know you don't, truth seeker, but if you did need any more proof as to the idiocy and the asininity and the vacuousness and the total uselessness of what Bush had to say today, how about that? To George Bush, a cloud being manifested itself 6,000 years ago and created the heavens and the earth. Created! Boom! There it is! So all this nonsense about discovering star clusters 15 billion light years away, star clusters that were formed within the first 200,000 years of the existence of the universe, that's impossible. That's science fiction. That's nonsense. It's Saturday morning cartoons. So how do you explore Mars? Well, you don't. No, George, we won't build a new ships. We really won't. Now, here he is again explaining why he wants to revisit the moon. Oh, I'm sorry. We'll have to wait until right after this break, and then we will let him explain why he wants to revisit the moon. You think maybe he thinks there's oil up there? Huh?
Fly. Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here. Now, in just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com. The world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
Wildfires in tropical forests can be dangerous to life on the bottom of the ocean. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. In 1997, wildfires raged for months over much of Southeast Asia. Even after the fires went out, the destruction continued offshore. Coral reefs near Indonesia started to die off, and so did the organisms that live on them. Companies that rely on the reefs for tourism lost business, and people who depend on the reefs for food lost their source of fish. A group of scientists in Australia and Indonesia say the environmental losses at sea are directly connected to smoke from the fires. Nereli Abram is working on a PhD in earth sciences at the Australian National University in Canberra. She and her colleagues studied skeletal remains of the Indonesian coral to recreate what happened when the reefs died. Abram says the coral suffocated. She says smoke from the wildfires contained huge amounts of iron, and it fell out on the surface of the sea and settled onto the reefs. The iron fed blooms of algae, and when the algae died, the process of decomposition robbed the water of oxygen. Abram says coral reefs will be hard hit if tropical wildfires become more common.
There isn't really any reason why this thing wouldn't happen again, particularly because the predictions are that wildfires are going to continue to become larger and more common in the future.
Abram says global warming might contribute to more tropical wildfires and more problems for marine ecosystems.
Our study adds a new threat to coral reefs and shows that ecosystems are quite intricately linked, and what happens in one ecosystem can have an important impact on other ecosystems. So we need to be looking at more integrated management solutions.
The research by Abram and her colleagues was published last year in the journal Science. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
Animal Talk. Not your father's radio program, take 47.
Tune in to Animal Talk this Sunday.
Sunday. Yeah!
Animal celebrity boxing.
We're going to kick some butt.
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
What a cat.
And that dog on ice, Tonya Harding.
Tonya Harding, she'll fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Boys, come on.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Picklesbush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune into the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Picklesbush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Finally, the majority has a voice in talk radio. Here's Mike Malloy.
Yeah, but not for much longer, Robin. February 27th is our last day, unless we're broomed out of here before then. Back to Bush explaining why he wants to revisit the moon. And, of course, the question is, or the observation, at least from my perspective, is he doesn't couldn't care less about visiting the moon. But Cheney or Halliburton or somebody wants us up there so that we can set up laser weapons so we can destroy cities here on Earth without sending in the troops. We can just laser them into non-existence, and we're going to have to do that for the Chinese because the Chinese are, within 10, 15 years, going to be the major competitor for the United States, and wait until all those people in China decide that they don't want to continue to burn Chinese coal. They want to burn Mideast oil. So what has to happen here in the sick, contemptible, disgusting brains of these people, all of them, is to set up a military base on the moon that will have powerful lasers. I'm sure somebody in R&D at Jet Propulsion Laboratory is already working on this. It probably has been for years. Powerful lasers that can be aimed from the moon to, oh, I don't know, Beijing, Guangzhou, wherever, and just vaporize it. Just make it go, just like that. Here's too stupid to be president.
Using the crew exploration vehicle, we will undertake extended human missions to the moon as early as 2015, with the goal of living and working there for increasingly extended periods of time. Establishing an extended human presence on the moon could vastly reduce the cost of further space exploration.
Kennedy-esque, huh?
Spacecraft assembled and provisioned on the moon could escape its far lower gravity using far less energy and thus far less cost.
What else?
Also, the moon is home to abundant resources.
Is that Kennedy-esque? The little short phrases, spacecraft assembled and provisioned, on the moon could escape. It's far less lower gravity using far less energy and thus far less cost. It's an embarrassment, isn't it? Last one. Finally, how he proposes to pay for it all. The fuzzy math here is appalling. He's talking about $1 billion spread out over the next 5 years. What is that? $200 million a year? If NASA hiccups, it costs $200 million. I mean, this is so farcical. This is such a joke. I don't know. Here we are back to Marx. History repeats itself. First is farce, then is tragedy. What are we in the farce mode here with this moron? Well, here he is.
NASA's current five-year budget is $86 billion.
Yeah.
Most of the funding we need for the new endeavors will come from reallocating $11 billion within that budget.
Ooh.
We need some new resources, however. I will call upon Congress to increase NASA's budget by roughly $1 billion spread over the next 5 years. This increase, along with the refocusing of our space agency, is a solid beginning.
Not even.
To meet the challenges and the goals that we set today.
Oh, Jesus, what goals did you set today, you moron? You didn't set any goal at all. What challenge? You set a challenge today?
We need some new resources, however. I will call upon Congress to increase NASA's budget.
Where are you going to get the money, dork choke? Huh? Where are you going to get it? Oh, I know. Maybe there's $1 billion in school funding someplace. You can, for those Negro schools, you know, those inner city dens of crack and death and gunfire. How about there, huh? Have I mentioned tonight how much I hate these people? I haven't? Well, I just did. Daryl is calling from Detroit, our bureau chief there. Hey, Daryl.
Hey, Mike. Happy New Year to you.
Hey, thank you. This is the first time you've called this year?
This is the first time I've called this year. I've been listening to you, and you've been handling the calls.
Didn't need your help up to this point.
No. I have to weigh in.
All right.
Yeah, I have to weigh in.
All right, go ahead.
I mean, if you want to talk about space, I guess he was actually the right guy to talk about it.
Okay.
There is space and then space.
That's true.
I knew NASA is really got to be careful, got to be scared right now. Anytime Bush talks about a program, after the cameras turn off, he defunds it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it doesn't make any difference what it is. That's right.
Okay, so.
And you know what else, Daryl? Everybody who works at NASA, Houston Space Center, knows that at no time, not once, not ever, during the time that this punk was governor of Texas, did he ever make a trip to the NASA Space Center in Houston. Not once.
I mean, this guy's the governor. He'd be taken in. I mean, it's not like you and I have to drive down there and, you know, he'd be taken there.
Yeah.
He'd be feted. He'd have the run of the place.
Yeah.
No intellectual curiosity
None.
Has been stamped on this man ever since, the beginning of time?
Nothing, nothing. He is lacking whatever genetic predisposition humanoids have being curious, in checking things out, in reaching, as Casey Kasem says, reach for the stars. Whatever that is, it doesn't exist in Too Stupid to Be President. Never has, never will. That's one of the things O'Neill was trying to say. Paul O'Neill was trying to say he's never in his life seen anybody so disconnected, so empty, that when O'Neill is expecting dialogue and interchange and an exchange of ideas, Bush just sat there and apparently bitched about where the pizza was. No, it was in the cheeseburgers. There were supposed to be cheeseburgers delivered at the first meeting. This is in the book.
Oh, great.
Yeah, and all Bush could say is, where are the cheeseburgers? And he said to Andrew Card, the cheeseburgers aren't here. I want them. Go get them. And Andrew Card, without a word, got up and left the room, went and got the cheeseburgers. That's what this thug is about, okay?
Oh, my goodness. And people still believe he doesn't drink?
Okay. Oh, my God.
These folks have been smoking such heavy ganja that their level of self-deception has been really remarkable. I continue to encounter people who believe up is down, left is right, and Bush is Churchill.
Yeah, well.
And the idea that he would propose over 5 years, like you do the math, mm-hmm. okay? He can't do the math, so he thinks that we can't do the math. $1 billion over 5 years? Hello.
Yeah.
Okay, that buys a few more wrenches. Okay, and of course it means that nothing's going to happen significantly during any possibility of your administration, correct? All of the things he's proposed have start dates
mm-hmm.
beyond mm-hmm. the end of time. You know, I mean, the Mayan calendar ends at 2012. So
well, the other thing, too, you're right. Going all the way back to the Boys and Girls Clubs, where he talked about how much he liked, and I think it was in Detroit, or maybe it was Louisville. He talked about how much the Boys and Girls Clubs were important. And the very next day, a percentage of money for the Boys and Girls Clubs that comes from the federal government was defunded immediately.
It's not isolated. It's an established pattern.
Libraries. He talked about how his old lady is a librarian, and she likes to read books to the little kiddies. Next day, money for libraries, gone.
Yeah. That's why if I were a federal program, I'd say, please don't come visit me. Please don't come. Please don't pay attention to me at all. Just ignore me. I might survive for another, year until somebody else gets in there and can do something about it. But can you imagine what would happen if he were to get elected for the first time in November? No, never mind. I'm sorry.
Thank
Happy
you.
New Year.
All right, thanks. All right, Daryl, take care. From O'Neill's book, in the book, O'Neill says the tone of his relationship with Bush was set at their very first meeting where he was offered the job of Treasury Secretary. Instead of a detailed discussion, Bush was more interested in why the cheeseburgers he had ordered were slow to appear. He interrupted the talk to summon White House Chief of Staff Andrew Card. You're the Chief of Staff? You think you're up to getting us some cheeseburgers? O'Neill recalled Bush saying. Card nodded. No one laughed. Card all but raced out of the room. Jesus, God Almighty. Oh, man. All right. Now, somebody suggested, and we brought it up on the program the other night, I forget who sent me the email, about amnesty for illegal immigrants and relaxing and guest workers and so on and so forth and fast track to citizenship if you do what? If you go fight and kill in the name of George W. Bush. Well, here it is from the Arizona Republic newspaper in Phoenix. Maricopa County Sheriff Joe Arpaio, you all have heard about him. This is a psychopath out there. This is a very sick man who in a different setting would be tried for crimes against humanity. But anyway, he's the Maricopa County Sheriff. And he said on Monday that he is ordering all undocumented immigrants currently in his jail to register for the draft. Arpaio said, quote, my point is, if you come here illegally and you're going to receive benefits from this great country, the United States of America, you should follow the law and register for the Selective Service. And if you get called up, you should fight for this country, end quote. there are about 500, according to the Arizona Republic, about 500 undocumented immigrants in Arpaio's jail who have not complied with a 1980 federal law that requires all young men between 18 and 26 to register for the draft, regardless of their immigration status.
Mike, wouldn't that be catch 22 if you're illegal and you go to Oh, never mind, Mike.
That's according to Arapaio. An additional 2,300 inmates out of 8,000 total inmates will also be ordered to register because they failed to do so earlier, according to Arapaio. Arapaio will begin registering the inmates Wednesday at Tent City. Now, for those of you who don't know, Tent City is where prisoners are housed in Joe Arapaio's jail. Dan Amon, a spokesman for the Selective Service System in Washington, D.C., said, quote, I can't say that I've ever heard anything like this, but we do appreciate any effort toward compliance. And Maricopa County Supervisor Mary Rose Wilcox said,
this could be a pathway to permanent residence.
No, it's a pathway to permanent death. Because when you fight for oil for the Bush crime family, you are sent into battle. Well, if it's done right, you conduct your fighting from 500 miles away or 20 miles away or 10 miles up in the air or whatever. But when finally it's necessary to put boots on the ground, as they say, you will not be provisioned properly. You will not have the equipment that you need. You will at some point try to kill yourself the way an awful lot of soldiers are doing in Iraq. I believe the number is a third higher than any other time in history in Bush's little war over there. And you will be killed. You will be killed because you will be an invader. You will be an occupier. And the chances of your being blown to pieces or having your arm shot off or a huge hole appearing in your abdomen are greater than probably anywhere we fought, with the exception perhaps of Vietnam. Because we are, again, the invader. I don't care as to the political correctness or political incorrectness of these wars. When you are an invader, you are going to die. You are simply going to die, a huge number of you, until you are turned away. I don't care if you're American or Russian or German or whatever you are, French, British. When you invade a country and occupy the country, eventually you will be driven from the country, but before that happens, you will lose an inordinate amount, a number of your young men, and now young women, who simply did not have to die. They just didn't have to die. Not there. Not like that. So the Bush crime family needs, and whoever emailed me was right on the money. The Bush crime family needs bodies. They need people to go kill and die for Halliburton. Albert is calling from Augusta, Georgia. Hey, Albert.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, it's going fine, sir. How are you?
Good to talk to you, Mike, for these past 2.5 years. I've enjoyed you.
Thank
you. Very welcome. I'm looking forward to possibly hearing you on some other network. I'll be tracking you. Will you still be keeping your email?
Yeah. Everything's going to stay the same. Okay. But I don't know. We may just disappear. I think everybody in this industry knows that this network is going out of business. So.
Don't worry about it, Mike, because I'm going to tell you something. I know I'll hear from you again. I know I'll see you again, so don't even worry about it. God be with you. Listen, but I wanted to talk about quickly was the immigration and also the economy very briefly. One, well, I'm surprised G.W. Bush and Jack Ashcroft and other people like that are allowing these illegals to come in and possibly gain citizenship soon. Wouldn't they be bringing in weapons of mass destruction, i.e. cocaine?
Well, could be.
Marijuana?
Could be.
And also, quickly, you know, now the economy here in the South in which you and I both live,
mm-hmm.
all of these, here's a campaign ad for 2004 that will probably work, if, you know, with intelligent Southern folk.
Mm-hmm.
Have show a map. Boom.
Right.
These are the red states here in the South.
Hey,
these states voted for Bush.
Amen.
And they also put in Republican governors and senators. Boom.
Yes.
But these states carry Bush, and he says the economy is going great. But look, let's look at Mississippi, last in the nation, last in the South. Education system, boom.
Hey, just look across the Savannah River. Look over there in South Carolina.
The roads are so bad in South Carolina, I promise you, it's like peanut brittle.
Hey, hold on a second. I got to do a break. I'll come back because I know you're not finished. Stay right there, Albert. We'll come right back as soon as we do this break.
We will apply the immigration laws. We're saying welcome to America. Why don't you share information with us?
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glasters, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
If you think people are more important than corporations, you need to see The Progressive Populist. Twice a month, we feature columnists such as Jim Hightower, Molly Ivins, and other plutocrat pluckers from around the country. We'll send you a free sample copy if you'll call us toll-free 1-800-205-7067 or see our website at populist.com. That's 1-800-205-7067 or populist.com or The Progressive Populist, the newspaper for Main Street USA.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better. He's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and four pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped five sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Kathy. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
Okay, here we go. That Comic Book Show promo, take one. From the depths of Schroeder's parents' basement, That Comic Book Show.
Can I get your boys anything?
Mom, we're trying to do a promo for our show. Didn't you see the light on?
Oh, I'm sorry, honey, I didn't see it. But anyway, would you boys like something or not?
Will you just leave us alone, please? We're working against a deadline here. And no, we would not like anything.
Okay, then I'll leave you two boys alone.
Okay, where were we?
Dude. I wish I was your dad.
Why?
I promise you won't be mad at me now. But I gotta tell you something. Man, your mom is hot!
Dude!
Man, she's smoking, dude!
Knock it off.
Whoa!
Oh, will you just shut up?
Listen to That Comic Book Show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
NBC Wall Street Journal poll. Bush is in the worst political trouble of his presidency, according to this new poll. Yeah, they have their work cut out for them. What's it going to be? Is it going to be a phony assassination attempt on Bush like they staged with Reagan? Is it going to be another attack on U.S. soil where another 3,000 Americans and foreigners are going to be killed? Is it going to be another attack on another country? What are they going to do since they can't govern? Huh? So look for another war. The guy is toast, and you know it as well as I do, Truth Seekers, and maybe, just maybe, some Americans are coming out of the ether. But don't count on it, because they'll go right back into the ether as soon as these thugs engineer an act of violence against this country, or another war, or something about Bush. Oh, Bush broke his leg today. He was running and he stumbled. Oh, sympathy, sympathy. You know what I'm talking about.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Conservatives, here comes your worst nightmare. It's Mike Malloy.
Five before the hour, we're talking with Albert in Augusta, Georgia, about the red states love George Bush.
And here's the thing, because, see, this is what I figured this out 2 days after September 11th happened. I said, well, a lot of people are going to feel it, feeling fear. I said, this is what I told people before you started talking about fascism. You know, and I said that you put people on a fear factor. They will believe anything that you say.
That's true.
I said this for 2.5 years before you even started talking about fascism. And see, now, here's what I believe. As far as these red states are concerned, I'm going to make one more point. I'm going to go ahead and let you have your piece and hang up. But, you know, here in the South, though, I work at a roadhouse-type place. You know, I don't work at Applebee's. I'm working like at a roadhouse-type place here in Augusta. And, and I hear a lot of people talking about, well, Saddam Hussein is going, now I feel safer. Well, this is what I explain to people. If you believe the commander in chief that we're much safer that Saddam Hussein is missing, why in the hell did our terror alert go up? Second, if you believe, you know, I'm like, I have to tell people, I don't fear this man, even if he was still in Baghdad, because I fear people who look like me trying to break in my house and hurt my family and take what I worked hard for.
Watch out.
And something else, and the thing about it, why be upset when you're getting searched? Hey, he said the price of freedom is so important. Blacks have been dealing with this for 400 years here on this continent. It doesn't bother us. This is the only time we're not a nigger. But at the same time, you have so many blacks who fall in that same trap. Mm-hmm. I'm going to make a prediction for you, and that is this. Dean will not take the nomination. It's going to be between Gephardt, Kerry, and Edwards. And if the Democrats are smart in the South, they would play on the economy, the bad education system here, the so-called budget cuts that are taking cuts away from certain things like road projects, education, and things like that, and take advantage. We may have a Republican sweep when it comes to governors, but we're in Virginia. We have a governor in Virginia. Well, they do. I keep forgetting them independent. They have a governor in Virginia, North Carolina, and Louisiana.
Right.
And if we – well, oh, Lord, I'm saying it. I may as well join the party. If we cannot capitalize on that, then you have a problem. Where's James Carville when we need him? Where's Mike Malloy when we need him? Listen, Mike, I may not be able to talk to you ever again, but I'm going to tell you something. You are definitely the Edward Morrow of left radio. You in Europe, in World War II, we had Radio Free Europe. We had Radio Free America when IE America was running. This, to me, in my opinion, is ridiculous. Why would the auto union get rid of IE America? I tell you one thing. If I had the money and the power, they're talking about trying to find a left network. Here it is right here.
I hear you. I hear you.
Won't nobody even attempt to even come about and try to purchase IE America Radio Network. Everybody is scared of the White House. It's ridiculous. I think it's bad. Mike, would you have introduced to us and to myself and many people that I've introduced to you, you have introduced a new way of thinking.
Albert, we're out of time.
But, Mike, I appreciate it. I'm going to keep up with
you
via email.
Thank you, sir.
You take care.
You too.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2004.
another audio clip from the production meeting.
Doug Steffen.
What production meeting?
The drive. You know how many radio stations we're on? We must be doing something right, guys.
Imagine if we really tried.
Doug. Yeah, yeah.
If we don't care, and it shows.
On the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of our weaker citizens suffer an addiction to talk radio that causes them to listen to that Mike Malloy person each night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. We suggest you satisfy your Jones by listening to some of our morally upstanding, honest, and ethical talk show hosts like Dr. Laura, G. Gordon Liddy, Oliver North, and Rush Limbaugh. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. A top human rights group Tuesday accused the U.S. military of committing war crimes by demolishing homes of suspected insurgents and arresting the relatives of Iraqi fugitives. The military denied the charges by Human Rights Watch, saying it only destroyed homes that were being used to store weapons or as fighting positions, adding that all Iraqis detained were suspected of taking part in attacks on coalition forces. The New York-based human rights group said American soldiers demolished at least four Iraqi homes for no apparent military reason, other than to punish the families of anti-U.S. guerrilla suspects. The Bush administration is taking a fresh look at its plans to turn over power in Iraq by June 30th. While that remains the deadline, Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld said Tuesday it's too early to tell whether it will have to be changed. The review underway is in response to objections to parts of the current plan by a leader of Iraq's majority Shiite Muslims. U.S. soldiers in Iraq are killing themselves at an unusually high rate, despite the work of special teams sent to help troops deal with combat stress, according to Pentagon reports. Meanwhile, about 2,500 soldiers who have returned from the war on terrorism are having to wait for medical care at bases in the United States. Both situations illustrate the stresses placed on the troops and the military's health system by the war in Iraq. Democratic presidential candidate Wesley Clark on Tuesday criticized the timing of an investigation of former Treasury Secretary Paul O'Neill and suggested President Bush was more concerned with political security than national security. Campaigning in New Hampshire 2 weeks before its primary election, Clark called for a full congressional investigation into why the United States went to war in Iraq. Clark contended that Bush was obsessed with Iraqi leader Saddam Hussein and with establishing a national missile defense in the months leading up to the September 11th terror attacks and did not do enough to protect the nation against such an attack. More after this.
I'm Don Henley. 2003 marks the centennial anniversary of the National Wildlife Refuge System. Today, more than 530 refuges conserve some 90 million acres throughout the country. With a refuge in each and every state, and many within short drives of major cities, it's easy to see what the National Wildlife Refuge System is all about. Help us celebrate this truly outstanding legacy. Visit your local refuge.
A researcher from the University of Wisconsin at Madison has figured out a better way to slice cheese. Just use a laser. Zhaojun Li, a mechanical engineering professor and laser expert, has adapted the same kind of laser used for eye surgery to slice Wisconsin's most famed food product. That laser, known as a cold laser, cuts by blasting apart the molecular bonds that hold materials together. At any other university, people would have just laughed. But this is Wisconsin, it's cheese, and it's no laughing matter, Li said. This is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Hey, what is it?
I realize I love you, but as long as you're with Jessica, there can never be anything between us.
Cassie, there's no need to cry. Besides, I've got really great news.
You're leaving Jessica?
No. I just saved a load of money on my car insurance by switching to Geico. I saved. I thought that meant something to you.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
Not only is pollution nasty and deadly, but it's also a spoiled brat kind of substance that just won't stay put. You dump it over here and, whoops, it pops up over there or way out that way, or maybe even in that bag of organic baby lettuces you just bought. Indeed, organic baby lettuce is one of the surprising places that the Environmental Working Group recently found perchlorate, having run scientific tests on 22 types of lettuce being sold in California supermarkets. Perchlorate is not something you want to find in your salad or on your BLT. It's a rocket fuel ingredient. It's known to cause brain damage and other health problems, especially in children, even when exposed only to trace amounts. The tests found way more than traces, however. 1/5 of the lettuces tested contained at least 5 times the amount of perchlorate that's considered safe. How did perchlorate end up in our lettuce? It came from a former rocket fuel factory located down at the tip of Nevada. The toxic chemical leached from the factory into the nearby Colorado River, which then carried it miles away through farmlands in Arizona and California, where 70% of our country's winter lettuce is grown. The farmers draw their irrigation water from the contaminated Colorado, and the lettuce sucks up both the water and perchlorate. Then the lettuce is harvested and shipped hundreds of miles to supermarkets where you buy it and take it into your home to serve to family, unaware that it comes pre-dressed with toxic rocket fuel. Pollution is like that. It just keeps going, ultimately into us. You'd think the powers that be would learn this lesson. Yet now these geniuses are saying it's perfectly safe to dump high-level nuclear waste in Nevada, claiming that it's too far away to hurt us. This is Jim Hightower saying, to learn more about perchlorate and lettuce, call the working group, 202-667-6982.
Xie xie is thank you in Mandarin Chinese.
Is it really, Nancy?
Fan ji la is like cool. Yeah,
Chinese lesson now.
Wow, Nancy, you're so smart.
Fan ji la.
You know everything.
Xie xie.
I should have watched MSNBC.
I want to be just like you. I figure all I need's a lobotomy and some tights.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Welcome back. 7 past the hour. A couple of emails here, and then on with the program from Tim in Palm Beach County, Florida. Tim writes, Mike, Bush's sudden interest in space exploration and development is more than likely a diversion to interrupt the public's rising indignation about his recent immigration policy. After all, when you can't win an argument, it's time to change the subject. Yes, indeed. From Linda in Maryland, regarding some of the more venal and corrupt members of the American media trying to compare George W. Bush's empty-headed statements with Kennedy's. Linda writes, that's right, Mike. NPR actually played President Kennedy's Going to the Moon speech while discussing the selected fraud's Moon-Mars speech. I used to think I could count on NPR to at least be intellectually honest and objective. However, that is no longer possible. Of course, many of us have become aware of that fact a while ago. By the way, my take on this, a way to get weapons into space. Yeah, you know, the big, huge lasers or some kind of death ray that they can then aim at enemy cities like Beijing, Moscow, San Francisco. From Robin in West Virginia, Mike, the speech, referring to Mars speech, Mike, the speech was a repeat for me. Most of the technology dipstick mentioned, i.e. sublunar pockets of air and ice, the relative ease of achieving escape velocity from the lunar surface, lunar colonies, mining, the whole damn thing, is nothing more than a ripoff of Robert A. Heinlein's The Moon is a Harsh Mistress. It is indeed. I love science fiction. Oh, my God, I love it. But I've become more of a fantasy fan now. I read so much science fiction as a kid growing up and as a young adult. Now I just want to go live in Middle Earth. Right? And kill orcs. From Diana in Florida, Mike, Bushy doesn't have a speech impediment. He has a brain impediment. With no insult intended to normal people with these inflictions, they're not megalomaniacs trying to rule the world. I think what galls me the most, above all the other bleep going on, is that someone so unworthy holds the most powerful office in the world when so many millions of people could do so much good with that power. And David, this is off, well, it's not on that particular topic, but David emailed in, what's your take on the Bush visit to Atlanta? I notice that his visit to the King Center is from 2 to 4:30. That would be great news for the wonderful Atlanta afternoon driving adventure. I don't guess Bush would consider taking MARTA, which is our rapid rail system here in Atlanta. well, first of all, he wasn't invited. During the Reagan era, Reagan was not invited to come here either. Bush is the antithesis of what Martin Luther King stood for. I mean, Bush is pro-war, pro-death, pro-destruction, pro-poverty, pro-destroy the working class. Everything that Dr. Martin Luther King stood for, George W. Bush stands for the exact opposite. So this unconscionable, uninvited white devil invites himself. He was not invited by the King Center. Now, I can say all kinds of bad things about Coretta Scott King, and I have before, because I think the way the King Center is run is an abomination. But we're not going to talk about that right now. We're going to talk about, I'm just going to mention, Bush inviting himself down here, and nobody on the board of the King Center, certainly not Mama King, nobody invited him to come down. Now, Joe Lowry, who is retired now, he's the, I guess he has emeritus status with the Southern Christian Leadership Conference. He was one of the founders. Old Reverend Joe is proud, and who is a good guy. How old is Lowry, Kathy? He must be in his early 80s, late 70s. So many of the old civil rights leaders are getting so old. It is just, I don't know. It's kind of tragic. I don't mean tragic. Everybody gets old. I have to leave the light off in the bathroom in the middle of the night when I get up to pee because I'm afraid if I turn the light on, I'll see myself. And so everybody gets old. So I don't mean, but to see civil rights leaders that, you know, you don't look at yourself that way. To see Joe Lowry, to see somebody, you know, so many people dying off, to see Jesse Jackson turning gray, getting all ashy, as we say. But where am I? I lost the train of thought. Damn it. Joe Lowry said that, you know, the church service at the, not at Wheat Street Baptist Church, but at the Ebenezer Baptist Church, a couple of blocks away from the King House, the old King home here in here in Atlanta, that church service is going to be going on until 4 o'clock. It starts at 1, going to be going on to 4 o'clock. So Bush decides to come down at 2 o'clock, and he doesn't get an invitation. Just his thugs, his bully boys, his apartheid racist pimps get a hold of the King Center and say, "We're coming down there, Negro. We're coming down there. Make way." That kind of thing. Lowry says, "You know, the church service will go on. The church service will go on." What it does mean, though, and let's take it from the sublime to the ridiculous now, or the pedestrian, it does mean that, no pun intended, it does mean that the traffic, as David suggested, the traffic here in the Atlanta area, you know, for Bush to come into the King Center and everything, it's just a little bit east of the downtown, the core, the heart of Atlanta, where you know, two lane streets and crap like that. Don't forget, all the streets in Atlanta are laid out following an old grid that was not a grid in the sense of Chicago or Washington, D.C. or St. Petersburg, Florida, but an old grid that was caused by fleeing rebel soldiers with their mules and, you know, let me get out of here, man. Here. That's how the streets of Atlanta were laid out. They twist, they turn, they don't make any sense. All of this just because David sent me this email? Well, my take on it, David, is that I would hope, and it's a ridiculous hope, that, first of all, that Bush would not have invited himself. Bush has nothing to do with civil rights. Bush is a pandering whore who will come down here to get his picture taken in front of the King reflecting pool, or get his picture taken with Mama King, or whatever. But he's a pandering whore, prostitute, where it concerns civil rights. This man has done more to retard human rights, let's call it what it is, human rights, than anybody since Reagan. He's just absolutely useless in the field of human rights or civil rights or laws in this country regarding those issues. But he invites himself. How about that, huh? Invites himself. Oh, my God. Okay, one more little item here, and then back to your phone calls. As you probably know, the former chief financial officer of Enron, Andrew Fastow, pled guilty today to 2 counts of wire and securities fraud. 2 counts. 2 counts. This son of a bitch had a 98-count indictment staring him in the face, right? 2 counts for his role in ripping off and destroying this filthy, disgusting company, Enron, which should have been ripped off and destroyed. Only not in a manner that took down investors and whatever. So he winds up, he's got 10 years without parole. He's going to serve. And his wife, Leah, once an assistant treasurer at Enron and also involved in the corruption and the scams and the theft and the thievery and the fraud and the deceit, she pled guilty to tax fraud. And in exchange, she got a 5-month sentence. She could have faced 37 years in prison if convicted on all the counts she was indicted for. Now, we all know that wealthy white people, especially wealthy white people who are involved in white-collar crime, never, ever, ever serve the amount of time commensurate with the pain and suffering that they cause. But by God, you take just some jerk-ass little crack dealer who stands on a street corner and sells, you know, maybe 10, 11 rocks a day. Boy, I'll tell you what, he's going to go to jail for 20 years. But somebody like the Fastows, please, please. Now, here's the insult to the injury. Leah and Andy Fastow say that, okay, we'll plead guilty, but we don't want overlapping jail sentences because, you see, we got 2 young sons. And we don't want to leave our young sons in somebody else's care. The nerve of these bastards. Did they think about their young sons when they were ripping off the American public, ripping off? Did they think about it? And regardless of that, what about our little old Latino or African-American crack dealer and sometimes a white boy standing on the corner selling crack? Maybe he's got a son, too. Do the prosecutors consider his son? No. So here the Fastows say, well, yeah, okay, we'll go to prison, but, you know, we don't want overlapping sentences because, you know, we got 2 boys. We got a kid 8 and a kid 12, whatever the hell they are. I don't mean to be cold-hearted. I really don't. And I honestly believe that probably not putting them both in jail at the same time is a humane thing to do. But I'm thinking about all the people that are serving 10, 15, 20, 30, 40 years in prison because of selling reefer. Or bringing a couple keys of powder into this country. Or getting caught with some Mexican mud. You know. And I'm not talking about dealers. I'm not talking about drug cartel people. I'm talking about just common folk who are trying to make a few bucks. And they make their money because other people, white, Latino, and African American, provided the market. You know, if there's no market, there's if there's no demand, there's no supply, right? And very seldom do the users suffer any penalties. Hell, look at Rush Limbaugh. Look at Rush Limbaugh, right? His housekeeper will probably go to prison. You think Limbaugh will? Nah, Limbaugh's a crybaby lard ass who has it all figured out. The Democrats have been trying to get him, and this is the only way they can do it. But anyway, that's all. Just a bit about Andrew and Leah Fastow, who, the old lady goes to prison for 5 months, the old man goes to prison for 10 years, but please don't put us in prison at the same time, because it's about the children, you know. It's about the children. We don't want to go to jail together because of the children. Oh, my God, we have children. You know, we have little children, Judge. We do. We have children.
Cheney's heart pumping 40 ways.
My heart is fine. Our energy policy has never been compromised.
Where are you now that we need you? Kenstar.
Kenny Boy should invoke his fifth dimension rights.
Bush and Cheney's and Ron money buddies. This time they went too far.
What is Enron anyway?
Remember back when they kept whining about Clinton lowered the moral bar. Where are you?
Welcome and good evening. Soon, one of these lucky ladies will be crowned Miss Kumquat of Monroe County. The envelope, please. Miss Debbie Andrews. I have good news.
I can't believe I won.
You didn't.
Huh?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
An email that I received from Ken Melman, who's the campaign manager of Bush Cheney 04. Last week I warned you, he writes to me, that liberal special interests had pledged to spend over $400 million to defeat President Bush. Since my message to you, the Washington Post has revealed that these liberal groups have already raised over $185 million of their $400 million goal. They have already begun spending it on ads to defeat our president. This confirms that we will face a tough, well-funded Democrat attack campaign. While the Democrats will have endless soft money to spend attacking President Bush, I hope we'll have your help. Will you stand with President Bush and help build the strongest grassroots campaign in history by making a contribution today?
Oh, President Bush, he just can't raise money. If they only had a brain.
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
You know, Jamie, if people don't listen to Animal Talk, things with their animals won't go well.
Oh, they won't.
No, absolutely not. You see, because a dog will poop in the corner, and then a cat will end up peeing on a pillow. Then you'll have somebody who has an iguana that turns a little red. We don't want red iguanas. We don't want poopy in the corner. We don't want cat pee. If you don't listen to Animal Talk, you'll have crap everywhere.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Ammunition against right-wing rhetoric. Get locked and loaded with Mike Malloy.
24 past the hour. Josh is calling, another one of our over-the-road trucker listeners who catches us on Sirius. Hey, Josh, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike. It's an honor to speak with you.
Oh, hey, listen, Josh, we've got just a terrible, terrible connection. What to do here, Kathy? Hold on a minute, Josh. Have him call back. Can you do that, Josh? Can you get to a different cell and call us back?
Yeah.
Okay, love to hear what you got to say, pal, and I do apologize, but the static is just is too much. So get to a different cell, Josh, and call us back, please. We value our serious listeners, especially the guys and the gals who are out there driving all night. What? Open your mic, huh?
Just so you know, Sirius Left is moving from channel 145 to channel 143, effective Monday the 19th.
Oh, so all the Sirius listeners who want to catch the last 5 weeks of the program, go to channel 143.
And I'm sure Sirius Left will also be broadcasting plenty of other valuable liberal progressive programming. So
yeah,
that's for everybody.
Okay. Thank you, Madam Producer. Nick is calling from Warsaw, Ohio, our Christmas Carol writer. Hey, Nick, how you doing?
Hi, Mike. Yeah, no songs tonight.
Oh, thank God. No, just kidding. Your songs are great. We have them up in the gallery at my website, so you can check them. You know that, don't you?
Yeah, I've been on the website a lot.
Okay.
I was listening to comments about the mission to Mars, and I don't think that he ever cares whether we get to space or not. I think that this is just another way for him to tap into the treasury and get a lot of another way to funnel money to him and his friends. It also gives him a lot of political carrots to dangle in front of Congress, get people, you know, we'll give you a little contract here or there if you'll go along with our little fascist agenda. Mm-hmm. So I really, you know, I think it's just like the Star Wars thing that wasn't working. They really don't care about that. What they want is to get their hands on that budget.
Well, I think you're right. Plus, if you look at not necessarily the research and development, but the actual operation of a space program, it's in Texas and Florida.
Oh, yeah.
So this gives a couple of bones to toss to the gullible in Texas and Florida. Hey, guess what we're going to bring down there? Yeah, we're going to Mars. And right after the moon and Mars, we're going to land on the sun.
Now, yeah, right. Oh, hey, you said you were raised in Ohio, right, Toledo?
I was indeed.
Well, if you come back, make sure you're packing, buddy. We just passed the concealed carry law.
Really?
Yeah, that's all.
Well, all that means is I'll be legal in Ohio now because I don't, you know, I don't go too far. Hell, I usually carry when I go to the grocery store.
Yeah, I know.
Of course, I live in North Georgia, so that's and I'm a liberal.
Oh yeah, well, did you ever feel that threatened growing up in Toledo that you felt you had to carry a gun?
No, I didn't. As a matter of fact, I've said a lot of times, I used to be a member of the NRA. I believed in sport hunting and sport shooting and got away from the NRA when they all went crazy. And I hate guns. I wish I lived in a country or a society where guns didn't exist, unless it was for hunting. I don't have anything against hunting as long as people eat what they kill, which means if you're going to go pheasant hunting, you kill two of them. That's it, and you go home. You know, I don't believe in what Cheney does, where he shoots 75 pheasants and lets their rotting carcasses fall to the ground, and they're caged birds anyway. That son of a bitch is crazy where it concerns that. So anyway, I'm getting off topic again. I don't have any problem with hunting when people eat what they shoot. But I wish I lived in a country where it wasn't necessary to have guns. I don't like guns because they're one of those almost unique inventions that, when used precisely as they're designed, they kill. And that's all they're designed to do, is to kill. So, you know.
Yeah, I think that's what bothers me about this.
Me
is
too.
That we're designed to, you know, we have to feel like we have to pack them because we're so afraid of each other, you know.
I hear that. Hey, listen, Nick, there's the music. Thanks for checking in, pal.
Okay.
All right, sir. Take care.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, and just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
Wildfires in tropical forests can be dangerous to life on the bottom of the ocean. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. In 1997, wildfires raged for months over much of Southeast Asia. Even after the fires went out, the destruction continued offshore. Coral reefs near Indonesia started to die off, and so did the organisms that live on them. Companies that rely on the reefs for tourism lost business, and people who depend on the reefs for food lost their source of fish. A group of scientists in Australia and Indonesia say the environmental losses at sea are directly connected to smoke from the fires. Nereli Abram is working on a PhD in earth sciences at the Australian National University in Canberra. She and her colleagues studied skeletal remains of the Indonesian coral to recreate what happened when the reefs died. Abram says the coral suffocated. She says smoke from the wildfires contained huge amounts of iron, and it fell out on the surface of the sea and settled onto the reefs. The iron fed blooms of algae, and when the algae died, the process of decomposition robbed the water of oxygen. Abram says coral reefs will be hard hit if tropical wildfires become more common.
There isn't really any reason why this thing wouldn't happen again, particularly because the predictions are that wildfires are going to continue to become larger and more common in the future.
Abram says global warming might contribute to more tropical wildfires and more problems for marine ecosystems.
Our study adds a new threat to coral reefs and shows that ecosystems are quite intricately linked, and what happens in one ecosystem can have an important impact on other ecosystems, so we need to be looking at more integrated management solutions.
The research by Abram and her colleagues was published last year in the journal Science. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy Show. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Doug, listening to you sing Back in the Saddle Again just goes to show what happens when Nancy isn't around to rein you in. God help us and anyone else listening in at that time. I think that was very nice. I'm back in the saddle again.
There's a certain pumpkin patch charm to you when you do this.
Really?
Well, Doug.
On the IE America Radio Network.
True. truth, justice, and the American way with Mike Malloy. Where else?
27 before the hour. Before we come back to your calls, just Doc sent me this. It's this, the title is "Does George Know?" This is interesting. One, the Garden of Eden was in Iraq. Two, Mesopotamia, now Iraq, was the cradle of civilization. Three, Noah built the Ark in Iraq. Four, the Tower of Babel was in Iraq. Five, Abraham was from Ur, which is in southern Iraq. Six, Isaac's wife, Rebekah, is from Nahor, which is in Iraq. Seven, Jacob met Rachel in Iraq. Eight, Jonah preached in Nineveh, which is in Iraq. Nine, Assyria, which is in Iraq, conquered the 10 tribes of Israel. 10, Amos cried out in Iraq. 11, Babylon, which was in Iraq, destroyed Jerusalem. 12, Daniel was in the lion's den in Iraq. 13, the three Hebrew children were in the fire in Iraq. Was that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? 14, Belshazzar, the king of Babylon, saw the writing on the wall in Iraq. What's the rest of that, Kathy? 15, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, carried the Jews captive into Iraq. 16, Ezekiel preached in Iraq. 17, the wise men came from Iraq. 18, Peter preached in Iraq. 19, the empire of man described in Revelation is called Babylon, a city once in Iraq. No other nation except Israel has more history and prophecy associated with it than Iraq. And of course, the writer is talking about Judeo-Christian history. It goes on. Eden was in Iraq. Adam and Eve were created in Iraq. Satan made his first recorded appearance in Iraq. What else? The book of Nahum was a prophecy against a city in Iraq. The events of the book of Esther took place in Iraq. The greatest revival in history was in a city in Iraq. The first world empire was Iraq. It just goes on and on. I wonder if Bush knows that. The stupid, stupid man who claims to be a Christian. Oh, never mind. Thanks, Doc. That was interesting. It was. Many, many tickle farson. Many, many. No, it's not tickle you. It has nothing to do with it. It's T-E-K-E-L. Many, many tickle farson. Does anybody have that literally? I guess I could click in on Google, but many, many. It's M-E-N-E, tekel, because it's what, a Hebrew or Aramaic? I don't even know what language it was. Oh, God. See, there we go again, getting hung up on something like that. Wayne is calling from Seattle. Hey, Wayne.
How are you doing, Mike?
Doing fine, sir. How are you?
All right. I missed the first part of your show because I was listening to, can I plug another radio show?
Absolutely.
Terry Gross, Fresh Air.
Yeah, we get that here in the afternoon at 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Did you hear it today?
I did not.
Well, she interviewed Paul O'Neill and Ron Suskin.
Oh, I bet that was fun.
Yeah, for almost an hour, and it was quite interesting. I just checked, and she does archive her audio, so any of your listeners who are interested, hearing it straight from the horse's mouth.
Well, I know what I'll do tonight when we go home.
Yeah.
Plug into NPR and go to Fresh Air and listen to that interview. I bet it was good.
Yeah. One of the things that came across to me, he's definitely, a Republican a trickle-downer. That's clear. He said, I was for the first two tax cuts, but that third one, I kind of had a little hesitation with that.
Right.
He's certainly no... liberal, as we all knew.
Right.
But I also kind of picked up a little bit of sense of backpedaling, like he might be reconsidering what he's gotten himself into by taking on the Bush crime family.
Yeah. Oh, sure. I don't have any doubt. Who among us wants to open our gas bill and have anthrax spores tumble out on the breakfast table? And I'm sure that it's probably crossed his mind. If there's one thing... the mafia would not tolerate, or the Bush crime family will not tolerate, or the Soviet Politburo would not tolerate, disloyalty. Under any circumstance, you must be loyal. If you are disloyal or even have the stench or the aroma of disloyalty about you, you will probably be killed. So I'm sure that's crossed old Paul O'Neill's mind here.
Yeah, so I guess his book is aptly named, The Price of Loyalty.
Right.
But, you know, I mean, he was saying things like, Terry Gross asked him, do you think that it was just a formality that Bush was listening to you because all the things he did in his economic policy went against his top economic advisors? And he would say something like, well, I wouldn't go quite that far.
Well, even Larry Lindsey, who wrote an op-ed piece for The Wall Street Journal yesterday, busting Paul O'Neill, or maybe it was today's Wall Street Journal, even Larry Lindsey, who was also fired, had his ideas weren't paid any attention to. Not that I think Larry Lindsey or Paul O'Neill were worth the powder to blow him to hell. I'm just saying so many of the people in the Bush crime family are strictly there for window dressing. They really have no input. They have no discussion. They have no chance to convince this thug of even Republican policies.
Yeah.
Bush is a fascist. The people around him are neocon fascists. That's what they're about. And Whereas O'Neill is obviously a Republican. Republicanism does not work with fascism. It doesn't.
Yeah. Yeah. Good point. But anyway, check it out when you get the time.
I'll do it. I'll do
All
it.
Right.
Thanks for the heads up, Wayne.
All right. See you later.
All right, sir.
Bye.
Appreciate your call. That'll be fun tonight. Go home. Go to the basement bunker where the office is set up, and we have broadband instead of this punky, ridiculous dial-up that I have here on this crappy little laptop, and pour a nice, stiff Jack Black and kick back and listen to Terry Gross, who happens to be the best interviewer in the history of the medium. Just the best interviewer, Terry Gross, Fresh Air, wonderful program. Janice is calling from Denver. Hey, Janice. Hey, Janice.
Hi.
Hi.
I wanted to pass on some of the discussion from Fox News about Fastow.
Uh-huh.
And that is that it's unlikely that he will serve the 10 years. His sentencing will probably go the way of Ivan Boesky and Michael Milken,
mm-hmm.
where they both served only a couple of years.
Well, it was today when I watched, CNN, I guess. I think it was CNN, where the Justice Department prosecutor, I don't know if it was the one who prosecuted the case and got the plea bargain or not, but there's a Justice Department prosecutor saying that he has 10 years to serve, or I believe the way the guy put it, 10 years without parole. I don't know, Janice. If Fox News is reporting something else, you know, I have very little respect for any news broadcast organization right now, so it could be one or the other. But that's what I heard today. That's the reason I said it that way.
Well, it seems to me that corporate crime and securities fraud really do pay.
Oh God,
they'll
yes.
They'll be let out. Fastow will be let out in a few years, like Ivan Boesky and Michael Milken. To their millions of dollars.
Yeah. Fastow had to return, I think, part of the plea agreement. He had to return $29 million. Think about that for a second. He had to return $29 million. But that probably doesn't even scrape the surface of what he and his wife have salted away someplace, probably in an Argentine bank or maybe in Switzerland, or probably Chinese bank. But, stop and think now. If you had three guys who were selling crack on a street corner in Houston and they got busted, what would happen to them?
Well, you know, even with property crimes, they were saying that, like in New York, the sentences are 15 years. And they're not going to be let out, you know, ordinary people would not be let out in a couple of years. But, you know, they don't have to go to Argentina or China with their millions. All they have to do is go to Florida or to Texas where they can
true.
Put all that money into their house.
Oh, they got you, Janice. See, that's one of those lasers on the moon. Janice, I've heard what you said. Understand. Got it. Thank you very much for checking in. Wow, what happened to Janice? Did you hear that, Kathy? It sounded like... A huge spider. We don't have time to get into this, but it was one that my senior correspondent sent me today that it's just astonishing. Just astonishing. Chris in Minnesota titled it, Fascism Creeps a Little Further Along. first sentence from, this is in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch on Sunday. Under a new proposal, the White House would decide what and when the public would be told about an outbreak of mad cow disease, an anthrax release, a nuclear plant accident, or any other crisis. In other words, Chris writes, the Bush thugs are so embarrassed that they got caught with their pants down. They're so outraged at the fact that their money men in the Cattlemen's Association and the Beef Association have seen their wallets dry up that they have now decided that they should be the ones to say when something like this happens or happened. In other words, you could be breathing in anthrax or some kind of chemical for weeks and not know it because the Bush thugs didn't release the information. In other words, you could be living next to a nuclear reactor about to go critical and you wouldn't know it because Bush didn't feel like saying so that day. In other words, terrorists, homegrown or otherwise, could attack a building full of people and Bush could sit on it for months until the optimum time came to galvanize the public behind his response. First the roadblocks, now the public's further lack of knowledge. The story is that the White House Office of Management and Budget is trying to gain final control over release of emergency declarations from the federal agencies who are normally responsible for things like, oh, public health and public safety and the environment. Do you see what they're doing? Do you all understand? I'll try to post this to the website, too. Do I have a link on this? I should. St. Louis Post-Dispatch on Sunday. The Office of Management and Budget, the White House office, also wants to manage scientific and technical evaluations, known as peer reviews, of all major government rules, plans, proposed regulations, and pronouncements. Currently, each federal agency controls its own emergency notifications and peer review of its projects. But the Office of Management and Budget says peer review policies in various agencies vary dramatically, and we can't have that. A senior OMB official says his office has been ordered by Congress to take a greater role in evaluating what the agencies do. So, we're going to do this. We'll decide what the public should be told. CDC? No, they will shut up. National Institute of Health? They will shut up. Nuclear Regulatory Commission? They will shut up. Environmental Protection Agency? They won't say a word. We will decide what you'll know and when you'll know it. If there's an emergency, we will decide when to release it. Well, you would think that this would cause some outrage. Well, it has. On Friday, a nonpartisan group of 20 former top agency officials sent a letter to the Office of Management and Budget asking the White House watchdog agency to withdraw this proposal because, quote, it will damage the federal system for protecting public health and the environment. One of the signers of this letter, one David Michaels, said, quote, it goes beyond just having the White House involved in picking industry favorites to evaluate government science. Under this proposal, the carefully crafted process used by the government to notify the public of an imminent danger is going to first have to be signed off on by someone weighing the politics of it. In addition to Mr. Michaels, the letter is signed by two former EPA administrators, a former Secretary of Labor, two former heads of the Occupational Safety and Health Administration, a former Assistant Labor Secretary in charge of Mine Safety and Health, and 13 other former senior officials of both political parties. Michaels added, Office of Management and Budget is not a science agency. The ramifications of it attempting to insert itself into a time-proven system of having the most knowledgeable scientists available evaluate proposed policy or regulations is a disaster in the making. Do you understand this, Truth Seeker? Did I go too fast? Huh? I think you understand it. When I saw this today, I just about wet my pants again. The Bush crime family. You can see Rove's filthy hands here and Cheney's and the rest of these monstrous, monstrous human beings. What they want to do is take away from all these safety and health agencies whose charge is to notify us if something goes wrong. Take it away from those agencies. Give it to the Bush crime family directly. So that if an emergency occurs, they will evaluate the political reaction from the American public to find out, oh, they're eating poison. Will that cost Bush votes? If finding out that we are eating mad cow disease prions in our beef, if that will cause Bush to lose votes or the Republicans to lose votes, then the information will not be released. Now, I've been saying for 3 years that these people are killers. They have no respect for human life. They are murderers, and I realize murder is a legal term, but that's what they are. They are murderers. They are killers. They are disrespecters of human beings. They are they urinate on Christianity. They defecate on the Constitution. These are pigs. These are the worst people we possibly could have had take over this country. And now this. The White House will decide what and when the public will be told about, a typhoid outbreak, mad cow disease, anthrax, nuclear plant accident, or any other crisis.
Honey, I think we were on the same boat back in 1694.
We've got a lot of problems, but I'm going to tell you something about this country. In my mind, there is no doubt that we won't solve these problems.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glasters, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
If you think people are more important than corporations, you need to see The Progressive Populist. Twice a month, we feature columnists such as Jim Hightower, Molly Ivins, and other plutocrat pluckers from around the country. We'll send you a free sample copy if you'll call us toll-free 1-800-205-7067 or see our website at populist.com. That's 1-800-205-7067 or populist.com or The Progressive Populist, the newspaper for Main Street USA.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places, a ray of hope in these dark days, and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
I want everyone to listen up and understand clearly. We need some good weekday programming ideas. I don't know why no one is writing this down.
Jeez. Oops.
We need some good weekday programming ideas that will appeal to all angles and opinions of all listeners. Any ideas? Johnson.
Oh, you said the wrong name.
It's Jameson, sir.
Jackson, Johnson, Jasper, whatever.
Maybe we can pick up Limbaugh and convince him to move more to the middle.
That's good. Get out of my office. Yeah, get out. Jeez. You're an idiot.
Sure.
Spicoli.
It's Smith, sir.
Yeah. Give me something good.
Why don't we just have some shows that will appeal to everyone's opinion? It'll make the listener base more diverse and make for a good show.
A talk show that everyone will listen to because their opinions will be supported by other listeners and welcomed by the show host. That's brilliant. Good job, Swanson.
You're on the ball.
Everyone take this next holiday off.
Wait, someone has to work. Doug Steffen's live.
Come on.
The
best in progressive talk radio, weekdays, on the only progressive talk radio network there is, i.e. America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time every Sunday. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com. And join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of you may be alarmed by subversive propaganda spread by that liberal media filter, Mike Malloy, who distorts the truth every weeknight at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Rest assured, our sources at Fox News confirm that we have a fabulous, booming economy and enjoy daily glorious victories in the numerous fronts of the ongoing terror wars. And besides, any problems we're experiencing are all Clinton's fault. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Truth seekers celebrate, right wingers beware. More of Mike Malloy.
About 4 and a half before the hour, Kelly just called in off the air and reminded us being Kathy and me. I don't use that editorial we. When I say we or us, I'm referring to two of us in here. But reminded us that it was the Bush crime family who jiggered the EPA reports, remember, on the quality of the air near Ground Zero in Lower Manhattan, so that thousands, if not tens of thousands of people were unnecessarily and needlessly exposed to toxins that will ultimately kill them or shorten their lives or cause them to have deformed fetuses growing inside of them, and hence the ones that are not aborted, deformed babies born. This is what the Bush crime family does. This is what they are best at doing, and that is killing people, breaking people's hearts, destroying their lives, stepping on them, smashing them into the ground. This idea that the Office of Management and Budget now wants to be the final arbiter of when to release information critical to safety or health or whether or not there's a disaster coming, I think that attitude is just in keeping with their overall attitude. They will lie about everything. But they lie in a way. I mean, Bill Clinton lied. Remember? I did not have sex with that woman. Remember? Oh, yeah. Oh, Jesus. Run him out of town. Impeach him. When Bush lies, people die. Tens of people, hundreds of people, thousands of people. He is a murderer. He is a killer. He's a disrespecter of life. And, This whole thing about not telling people the truth, which I think is probably the main reason that the hapless Christy Todd Whitman, who I do not feel sympathy for because she's a Republican, but that's the reason she finally got out, because she realized that her office was forced to lie, which will cause the death and disfigurement of living people and people yet to be born. And it was her office, EPA, who deliberately, calculatedly lied to the American public, lied to the citizens of Manhattan and New York deliberately and with malice aforethought. So this idea of the Office of Management and Budget, the White House now managing information. This is just in keeping with what these criminals do. But you knew that. Tonight's program, produced by Catherine Bay, Robin Bittman announces. Mark Marshall is the webmaster at MikeMalloy.com. Check it out. Jim in Arkansas is our music bureau chief. Chris in Minnesota is our senior correspondent. I'll see you tomorrow night, I hope. I really hope. Take care. No.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2004. No more lies, no more, no
more lies. If you had the chance to date Anna Nicole Smith, would you?
I found her appealing a few years ago, but there were things about her that intrigued me. That's all. I mean, I don't always get intrigued
by
them.
I just can't believe you, of all people, would choose a date based simply on the physical.
I hate to disappoint you.
You're a dirty dog.
On the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of you may be alarmed by subversive propaganda.